My name's Bond. James Bond.
Is he?
Are you?
Yes. And I'm Dick Tracy, and you're still under arrest.
But James, I need you.
So does England.
Mr. Bond. Mr. Bond, I'm so glad I caught you. Your office called. They're sending a helicopter to pick you up. Some sort of emergency.
Yes, it usually is. Thank you.
Yes, sir?
The lady will have a Bacardi on the rocks.
For the gentleman, vodka martini, shaken, not stirred.
Touché. I'm now aiming precisely at your groin. So speak or forever hold your peace.
Where's Peckish? Where's Peckish?
Pyramids!
Ah! What a helpful chap.
You missed, Mr. Bond. Did I?
You left this with Ferrara, I believe. I prefer cash. A genuine Felix Leiter. Illuminating.
I must say you become more beautiful every day.
I am over here.
Oh, of course you are.
Such a delicate touch.
Sheer magnetism, darling.
How do you kill 5 hours in Rio if you don't samba?
Don't you like me?
Why, I think you're wonderful, BB, but I don't think your Uncle Harry would approve.
Him? He thinks I'm still a virgin.
Yes, well, you get your clothes on. I'll buy you an ice cream.
It's Mix with On the Beat.
See what you can do.
Hey, hey, what's up? It's Azisu, back again, E-Society Podcast. We talk TV, movies, comics, collecting, sports, and everything entertainment. This is episode 46. Today we'll be talking about TV, including Twin Peaks, Third Turn, Samurai Jack, and Better Call Saul. Movies including Alien Covenant and King Arthur. And as always, quick entertainment news, the week in sports, including the revelation of what Nez's plans are for his Raider fandom, WWE Backlash, The Week in Funko, our weekly Star Wars Year by Year moment, and weekly random movie and song recommendations. But before I go any further, does he serve in heaven or reign in hell? It's Brian!
Hey, how you doing? Great to be on.
Awesome. Great to have you. And also, before I go any further, he spent the last 25 years in the Black Lodge. It's the Nez!
Yo, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the show, and again, I want to welcome Brian from the Horror Returns podcast. First time on this show. He's been on mine, I think, a few times. But hey, what's up, man? How you doing?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Same old. I mean, if everyone that follows me along, I've been jumping all over the country, and I think it's finally taking its toll because I'm like super tired. But hey, it's all right.
Yeah, it looked like you were having a lot of fun, though.
Yeah, just here, there, and the time changes, and it's really catching up. I was, like, super tired, and because I went and saw Alien Covenant again last night, just to have a refresh, and man, I was fighting towards the end. I was, oh, man, I had to stand up in the back of the theater. But I got through it. But yes, everyone, welcome to the show. Really quick, it was brought to our attention that it's kind of hard to find our shows. So if you're on Podbean or iTunes, just look up Skater Nez Podcast Network. That'll have my show, the Mac Nez Podcast, and this show, the E Society. How to spell it? It doesn't spell like it said it. It's SK, the number 8, NEZ. It's all one word. And then Podcast Network. Just write that. And it should all pop up, and you'll see both shows on there, and just listen to both. So, and I guess that's it for what I have to say. But
yeah, on the search for it, if you just do SK8, it'll be the only result that pops up. So that's what I've noticed.
Oh, okay. So, well, with that out of the way, let's roll forward. We got a lot to discuss.
Sounds good. Should we start with Covenant or come around to it?
We'll come around to it because I think that's going to be a big discussion at the end.
All right. Yeah, let's just knock out TV real quick. I couldn't wait to get back and talk a little Twin Peaks with you. It made its return this past weekend. And honestly, leading up to it, you know, I was like, oh, you know, I'll probably check it out. But I kind of really fell into it. They marathoned it. It's been up on the first two seasons have been up on Netflix forever, but yeah, they were marathoning it. And then I was like, you know, doing my Funko thing. I went and grabbed the Laura Palmer pop, photographed that. And I was all ready for the new episodes. And if you're familiar with the original series, one of the characters says, I'll see you again in 25 years. And it's actually been 26, but the story is actually set last year. So it's the perfect 25 year thing. And man, I just got to say, I was completely impressed with these new episodes. They're really awesome. They're quite weird. But if you heard me talk the last few weeks about American Gods and how weird that's been, I think American Gods helped me get in the right mindset to get ready for Twin Peaks. And I really appreciate everything about it. I've seen a few people say like parts of it are too slow and, you know, they're a little bored with it. But I was just completely entrenched in what was happening and all the weirdness. I love it. And all the actors, there's an Entertainment Weekly out and actually has on the cover that there's 217 actors, the returning ones, and then more current actors like Michael Cera, Naomi Watts. So, anyways, that's my little rant on it. I'm guessing you weren't able to check it out yet, right?
No, I haven't watched any TV. I mean, for me, going all over the place.
Being on the road.
The night I got home, I watched Better Call Saul, and that's the only thing that I've watched.
Right.
I didn't get a chance to check anything else out. Twin Peaks, I wasn't sure if this was just going to be like a reboot or anything, but then because I knew it was coming, but I didn't really read into it or watch any of the trailers that are out, but after you did tell me that one character, I will see you in 25 years, I had totally forgotten about that. Well, I guess it was 25 years ago or 26. So,
right.
Because I remember when it first came on, friends of mine were telling me about it. Like, oh, man, it's crazy. You should just check it out. And I was like, all right, whatever. So I went back and I watched it. I'm going to start watching it again. I know there's a lot of episodes to get through before I jump into this one because I think the only character that I really remembered was the hell's that guy's name? He was in Dune. Kyle. Oh man,
Kyle MacLachlan.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, the main guy, Special Agent Dale Cooper.
Yeah, that guy. He's the only one that I really remember. And well, if I start seeing other faces, I'll remember those as well. as well as Michael Horse. But he was the only one that I remembered. I mean, because he was in Dune, and he was in that movie The Hidden, and some other movies in the '80s. So Blue Velvet, I believe that, because this was all David Lynch's creation.
So, right.
But I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing this. I mean, does it carry on from the first series or the first part?
Well, yeah, I'll kind of dance around, you know, I don't want to obviously spoil it for you or anybody that hasn't watched it yet, but yeah, I mean, a lot of the characters come back, and it really has been like 25 years later. One of the, you know, criticisms I've seen is it's a lot more like the final episodes and that movie Fire Walk With Me, which kind of leans into the abstract and the weird and the whole Black Lodge, alternate dimension stuff. It leans a lot heavier into that and a lot less into the kind of soap opera element that parts of the original Twin Peaks had. And just real quick, I wanted to insert for people who are missing that, I actually have the perfect recommendation. We kind of dissed it when it first came on air, but the Archie show, Riverdale, it is already on Netflix. And throwing on the first couple of episodes of that, it is very much, it feels like Twin Peaks, but without the oddities. It has like the whole small town, a murder happens, how does high school react type thing to it. So yeah, if the current Twin Peaks is too weird for you right now, yeah, actually Riverdale can fill that. You can see they're actually heavily influenced by the original Twin Peaks. So, but yeah, you mentioned Michael Horse, and it's great to see him. I'll give you one little minor spoiler. You know, when the show originally aired, he was a deputy. It's really cool to see 25 years later, he's one of the chiefs of the station. So he's still there, and that's awesome.
Right on. I'll definitely check it out. But like I said, I'm going to try to go back and zip through some of the older stuff.
Right. Yeah, it's on Netflix, so it's out there for you.
Yeah. Have you been checking? Have you checked out the original series, Brian?
No, I've never seen it. I have a lot of people recommended it to me.
Yeah. One thing I would say, I know you guys, Brian, you're obviously from The Horror Returns. There are actually some pretty good horror elements to this, especially in the new series, that I think you'll be pretty impressed with. Some parts are, you know, a little spooky, a little scary, a little, I'd almost say, gory.
Okay.
Yeah, I think you'll really enjoy it. Both of you.
I'll definitely check that out.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, the first episodes are on Netflix as well. So okay. This is what, Showtime?
Yeah, it's a Showtime show. They aired the first two episodes on TV, but because of the upcoming Memorial Day weekend, they went ahead and threw episodes 3 and 4 up on the Showtime Anytime. So yeah, it just goes to show how much I was into it. I got finished with those and then, you know, kind of went about my stuff. Then I was like, I really wanted to keep going. So I threw on episodes 3 and 4. Yeah, I've watched that much. So
did you ever catch the movies they did?
No, now I wish I did, because I've read a little bit about it. And I guess David Bowie, who I was a huge fan of, he was a main character in the Fire Walks With Me movie. And they referenced his character. I don't know if he was able to film anything before he passed away. But that's another thing I wanted to quickly mention. The actress that originally played the Log Lady, she was able to film some scenes before she recently passed away. And also... the actor, he's been in tons of things, Miguel Ferrer. He was actually a kind of a central character on the original Twin Peaks. And it was cool to see him able to record parts for Twin Peaks and stuff. He only just recently passed away, so.
Yeah. Have you ever checked out any of David Lynch's movies? I mean, because his stuff is weird.
It is. It's so weird. Have you seen Mulholland Drive?
Yes, I had to watch that movie over and over and do all kinds of reading about it just to understand what the hell was happening in it. Because the first time I saw it, I was like, I didn't know what happened. So I had to go back and watch it over. Have you seen that one, Brian, Mulholland Drive?
It's been a while. That's definitely due for a rewatch.
Yeah, I feel like it's due for a rewatch too, because when I watched it, I don't think I paid attention to the fact that it was a David Lynch movie. So when everything kind of started going abstract with it, I couldn't follow. But now that I'm like so back into Twin Peaks, I'm actually curious to go back and check it out. I think that's on Netflix now too. So if anybody wants to check.
I have the DVD, so I think I'm gonna have to dig it out and watch it again. Another good one of his, I think, which is my favorite, is Blue Velvet. That one was awesome. Dennis Hopper was an awesome performance in that one. If you haven't seen that one, definitely check that one out.
Yeah, I hear actually what happened with Twin Peaks was Lynch was involved with the whole first season, which is only 8 episodes, and then they like tripled the episode output for season 2. But the network started to get a little impatient with the Who Killed Laura Palmer storyline. So, like, they kind of went above him and they solved that, like, midway through. So it started to kind of coast into more of the soap opera storylines. And a lot of season 2 kind of loses the Lynch edge. But then he came back for the final 2 episodes of season 2 and then the movie. And then, yeah, of course, like I said, it's been 26 years now. So, and now it's straight David Lynch.
Well, that'll be good. I'll definitely check it out.
Yeah, hopefully you get a chance and we can talk about it because it's crazy, but it's so cool.
Back to Riverdale. How much of that did you watch?
I watched the first 3 episodes. And I watched it basically at the perfect time coming off of Twin Peaks and reading people's reaction, because to the new Twin Peaks, I've seen both reactions, people that love it big time and they're so glad it's back and it's everything they wanted, and other people that are disappointed. They think it's slow and they wanted more of the high school drama that the original had. And it doesn't. It does not have... I think 4 episodes in, I don't think there's any high school age characters at all. So anyways, Riverdale, the first 3 episodes. Yeah. It's good. It's better than when I first watched it, because I watched it. There's so many commercials in it. Since it's on Netflix, no commercials. I was able to enjoy it more. And yeah, it basically feeds that appetite of, kind of a murder mystery in a small town, high school kids, obviously Archie, Betty and Veronica with an edge kind of thing. Jughead is kind of like the narrator of it.
So, have you seen this one, Brian?
I caught the first episode, been meaning to go back now that it's on Netflix, but I heard a lot of good things about it.
Right. Right. Same here, which is why I was like, I better check this out.
Is there any probably being the oldest out of the 3, I grew up with Archie as just the fun, lovable Riverdale gang, getting in all to the all the hijinks of high school and teenage life. But this seems like it's more of a serious show. And I think this show or this series is coming on at the right time, because Archie in the comics has took a lot of crazy turns and it was getting really serious. I mean, the last one I just read was the Archie versus the Predator. And
right.
And it, for as crazy as it sounds, and like, how the hell, it was actually an all right little story. But I mean, it's just hard to see all that. And Afterlife with Archie, with the whole zombie apocalypse thing. I don't know if that series is still going on, but because the comic store that I go to stopped carrying him. And but he's done other things. I know there's books of Archie Died, and I haven't really read into those yet. And there's a gay character that came to Riverdale, and I mean, Archie has took such a huge turn of just from the regular stuff. And then, like I said, this show has probably come at the right time because it sounds like it's really serious. And I mean, I'm definitely going to check it out. I mean, I did want to check it out before. And yeah, we were talking shit about it. But yeah, Netflix is easier. No commercials and I don't have to search for it. So I'll definitely give it a shot.
Yeah. Luke Perry plays Archie's dad. So that's kind of a interesting twist from his 90210 roots.
Does he still look the same? Dylan McKay?
Yeah, he actually does. and he makes a lot of sense as the Archie's dad. They do look similar. The Archie kid, like, I don't know, maybe that... It's hard, obviously, to find somebody with that exact hair tint, but it does look like his hair is dyed the Archie color of like orange, right?
Yeah, well, red, orangish.
Right.
Yeah, I'm looking at pictures of him. It's definitely a dye job.
Yeah, it looks good. But yeah, I'm three in of the. What was it, like 12 or 13 episode series? Yeah, check it out. Let me know what you think.
I didn't know that was. I'm looking at who's in it. The kid that's Jughead.
Oh yeah, he's one of the twins, right?
Yeah, from Zach and Cody.
Yeah, and he was Big Daddy, right?
Yeah, I don't know which one he is, but he's one of them. I see Mark Consuelos is in this. That's Kelly Ripa's husband. He's actually Veronica's dad in the show. Shit, there's a lot of people in this. But yeah, I'll definitely check it out. I mean, just to see. I'll give it a few episodes. If it catches me, I'll continue. If it doesn't, I don't know. We'll see.
All right. I quickly wanted to mention... No spoilers, but Samurai Jack finally came to its conclusion all these years later. The new series that finished it off ended its run. Overall, I just want to say I really enjoyed having the series back, and I'm coming back to finish the series. But that being said, I don't think they completely nailed the finale. I know finales can be hard and often controversial. You would think, I don't know, for a, you know, animated show that they'd be able to get it right. But I don't know if I was completely happy with how they ended it. It was an ending, but I don't know. Yeah. So I'm glad they came back and did it. But like I said, that being said, great season overall, but kind of questionable ending to the series.
I thought it was going to, when they brought it back, I thought they were going to like continue and just give, I didn't know it was going to be that one season and that was it.
Right.
But it was a good, it was a good wrap up or.
The whole, yeah, like I was saying, the whole series, it was great to have it back and it was a great story leading up to the end, but I just don't think they nailed the final episode, the conclusion to it. It was a conclusion, but yeah, a little off. I still love everything. So,
you watch the animated stuff, Brian?
I haven't seen the new Samurai Jack, but I got it on the DVR. The animation looked amazing, and kind of wanted to revisit the older seasons before I got into the new one.
Yeah, that's for me as well.
I definitely recommend doing that because they do a lot of fun shout outs to the old episodes in the new series. So it's like really cool. Like, oh, it's this and that, you know?
Okay.
So
yeah, definitely we'll do that.
But yeah, overall, it was worth it coming back. I'm glad they finally finished it, but I wish they would have finished it a little differently.
Anyways. Well, you know, let's finish TV before I jump into this. So go ahead, continue.
Yeah. I think the only thing we have left is Saul. One thing I want to mention before we talked about the new episode was we forgot probably the biggest cameo of all. We were talking all the other cameos last week. Lydia popped up at the end of last week's episode with Gus showing off the cleaners, the like dry cleaners that became the super.
That's right. No, I forgot all about that.
That was a huge reveal. He skipped over it, so.
Oh, man. So what'd you think of this week's?
Yeah, you know, kind of just a go-along episode. It was good to catch up with Mike. He was doing that whole thing, helping out with his daughter-in-law. Did that and then what else? Oh yeah, he hooked back up with the baseball card guy, kind of the pre Walter White ish type guy.
I hate that character.
Baseball card guy.
Yeah, you're watching this show, aren't you, Brian?
I just started this season. I haven't had a lot of time for TV other than American Gods, but go ahead. I mean, you guys can feel free to talk about it.
All right.
Well, we won't spoil it.
I just thought it was a filler episode. I mean, there was so much going on, and I mean, when they always bring Mike into the episode, I kind of want him to just take over. I hear rumors that they want to do a spinoff show of just the adventures of Mike, which I'm all for. But I don't know. I mean, yeah, this one was just it was all over the place. Like I said, it was a filler, and I don't know. It's just seeing. I mean, right now, I mean, this. I've always noticed that Breaking Bad, as well as Better Call Saul, was just kind of like a depressing show. It has its ups and its downs, and I think this was a down because the struggle of a Jimmy. Saul, aka Saul, was just like, oh my god, he's just struggling to continue to pay the rent. And I was right. Like, damn.
And I think it made you sympathize with him more, because even though I didn't feel this way, I know a lot of people say that in the original series in Breaking Bad, he came off as just real, like, oh, this dirtbag, this slime ball, oh, this guy, oh, him, you know. But I don't know, this really goes to show, like, man, he really did, like, pay his dues on this way. Like, there's a reason he ended up the way he did, because, you know, he gets beat down by life. So,
yeah, I mean, that's what I liked about it. I mean, it's just Breaking Bad, he wasn't on, like, constantly. He just popped in when they needed him. And my first what I thought of him was, this guy's just a douchebag lawyer that's just trying to get paid, and he knows all these crooked people to get the job done. And then when they started this show, we see where he starts out from the beginning, where he's just a struggling lawyer and just all the stuff that just keeps falling in front of him that he has to get involved in. And I didn't really care for his character. I mean, I knew who he was and everything in Breaking Bad, but I don't think I really started caring for him until this show started. But how many more episodes we got? Four?
I think so, yeah.
All right, man. It needs to – no more filler shows. This should be the only filler. The next four should be exciting all the way to the end. That's what I want, but we'll see.
Exactly. That wrap it up for TV?
Yeah, I think so, because I didn't get any TV in.
Okay. I know Alien is going to be the meat of our movie topic, so real quickly, I just want to mention, the day before I went to see Alien, I went to see that King Arthur, Legend of the Sword. Did either of you see that one?
No. The trailer didn't really make me want to go see it.
Right.
Same with me. I'm just kind of like, eh, okay. All right, whatever.
Well, okay, that being said, I'll be pretty quick with this. Right off the bat, a lot of people share what you were thinking. when I went, we were the only people in the theater. Nobody else, and it's only the second week it's been out, nobody else was in the theater. And it was kind of a line when we got there. Obviously, everybody was going to see Alien. It was completely empty in King Arthur. I'll just say, if you've seen Guy Ritchie's work before, especially what he did in Sherlock Holmes movies, it's basically like that applied to King Arthur. There's a whole lot of scenes where it's almost montage-like, where they quickly rush through events, like, and then what happened? And it's like a rush of film, and they're like, oh, and then you did this. No, we did this, and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, it really bursts out story. It's, I don't know, it really played a lot more into the, I thought he was going to do a more grounded take on King Arthur, but they do lean into a lot of the magic and, you know, mysticism of it. So there was a few parts, especially the lead up to the end, where I was like, man, what am I watching here? Like, I love weird stuff. Like, I was just talking about Twin Peaks, but I was like, what is going on here? This is over the top. Like, and I don't know if it was in a good way. So if you've seen the trailers, you kind of get the idea for it. They've got a lot of cameras on guys while they're running and stuff like that.
How was Charlie Hunnam?
He's good. He actually is good in the lead for it. And I'll give you a small spoiler alert, just because I don't think it will happen. At the end, he's kind of gathering people around a half-made table, obviously, Knights of the Round Table. So they could do another one. But I have a feeling, unless this does really good in other parts of the world, that's not going to happen. But yeah, no, yeah. He's solid.
Yeah, I think I read that they're estimated to lose like $80 million off of this.
Right.
Damn.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think, I mean, Jax is good and everything, but I don't know if he really has the star power to hold the whole movie. I mean, he did good in Pacific Rim.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, because I mean, he was great in Sons, and I liked him in Pacific Rim. But you know, a couple of other movies I've seen him in, it's just I don't think he can carry it.
Right.
And that's part of the reasons I think he. What was that movie he was supposed to be? 50 Shades of Grey.
Right.
I don't think he felt like he could carry that big of a movie, and. I think that that's why he backed out of that one.
Yeah, right. I think he's more of just a co-star character. I mean, but who knows? I mean, he could keep just doing what he needs to do to get that main star power stuff. I mean, because to my favorite movie he had done, but he wasn't the main star. Elijah Woodward was Green Street Hooligans. He was awesome in that. I mean, he was a more younger guy, but he's. I don't think he's the main role guy yet. I mean, who knows? He'll eventually get there, but right now I don't think so. Especially for a big, huge movie like this. Who else was in it? I don't even know who else was in it. All I know is him, because his picture was plastered everywhere for advertising for this.
Jude Law plays the kind of betraying Uncle King. It really does follow, if you're familiar with the original King Arthur storyline. It does pretty much follow that. It just adds in kind of a few more mystical elements. And then if you're also familiar with Guy Ritchie's work, he loves to throw in like traditional English and Irish music. So there's a whole lot of that, which works in interesting ways. But yeah, like I'd say it's worth watching, but you can wait for home video or when it shows up on TV or Netflix or something.
Is it better than Swept Away?
Swept Away. Have you seen was that?
The movie that Floppy did with Madonna when he was married to her at the time.
Okay, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about now. Funny kind of story with that. I never walk out on movies, and that was when right before Jade was born. So I was with Breezy, and we went to see it, and Breezy wanted to leave, so we had to leave. I never finished that movie. She totally was not into it. We left the theater. That's the only time I can ever remember doing that.
Well, you didn't miss much. Just watch the original one. Stay away from Guy Ritchie Swept Away, because that movie was horrible.
Have you heard of him? I guess he's supposed to be doing the live-action Aladdin movie.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I'd be curious to see what he does with that. I mean, I know I just kind of ripped King Arthur, but considering what he did with King Arthur, I'd like to see what he does with Aladdin, because he's obviously going to have to toe closer to the Disney line. He can't go kind of as odd as he does in parts of King Arthur. So should be interesting. I don't know if he'll do the whole, his typical thing seems to be like he loves to do the speed montage of where they speed through things. So will he apply that to Aladdin?
I don't think so. I think it'll be more of Disney's call. I mean, he'll probably throw in his two cents, but I'm pretty sure that Disney's gonna call all the shots before. He has put out a lot of good movies, but I don't think we might see some of his little regular trademarks that he's done in all of his movies, but who knows? We might not, but.
Yeah.
As far as Aladdin live action, me as a fan of the animated one and a huge fan of Robin Williams, I don't know. I mean, who do you think, or has they announced who the genie is going to be?
I read a rumor. It was they were talking to Will Smith.
Oh, wow.
But I don't know how true that is, and I've heard a lot of people are not on board with that.
I love Will Smith. I mean, I love not all of his music and not all of his movies, but he's funny. But I don't know. I don't even know who I would pick. I mean, there's a lot of funny comedians out there, but
I can't think off my head for Genie.
I don't know. We'll see. I'm sure they'll spring it on us, and then we'll come on here and give our two cents on what we think. But who knows? We'll see. But, yeah, as far as the live action, I don't know. I mean, Peach Dragon let me down, if you guys heard that episode when we were talking about it. But after what they did with Jungle Book, which I thought was an amazing movie, I do hope that they really take their time with this one. Don't just half-ass it and throw it out, and just really think about who they want to cast for this. I'm sure they already picked who's going to do it. They just haven't released us on it yet. But my fingers are crossed that it's just as amazing as the animated version.
Yeah, exactly. Cool. Ready to dig into Alien?
I want to say that for the very, very end. We okay, can still yeah, do everything yeah. else, but movies. I just want to we lost a couple people the past week, and the first one I want to talk about is Chris Cornell. I did my little episode on him at that time when we came out the news of his passing. I was just going by what I was reading and everything, but from right now, I don't think it was a regular type of suicide. I think the drug he was taking, Ativan, I have no idea what that does, but his wife was saying that he had taken, I guess, an extra one, and I think it really kind of threw his mindset off, and that might have been the cause of it. I know everyone's battling some kind of demons, but It was a real shocker to me, and I was pretty messed up the rest of the day. And yeah, I don't know. It was a sad day for rock and roll, losing Chris Cornell. Were you guys fans of his music?
Yeah, a little bit. And it was a shock. It was the past couple of weeks has just been to the point where, like, you know, I don't want to even look at my phone because it seems like somebody had passed away.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, recently, Michael Parks and Powers Booth passed away.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's so earlier in the year, and it's just, I know death is there for all of us, but it's just kind of, or it is sad, especially when, you know, not us knowing them personally, but knowing their body of work and everything and being fans of theirs. And, I was a huge, Chris Cornell fan as a musician. I mean, I love Soundgarden. I loved Audioslave and I loved his solo stuff, but, him as a musician, as a singer, as a songwriter, I really loved what he had done because he did an awesome song for the James Bond movie, Chris Cornell, which is going to roll into my next one with the passing of Sir Roger Moore. I'm sad for anyone that passes, but Roger Moore to me was James Bond. There is no other James Bond. I grew up watching Roger Moore, and that's how I was introduced to that character. A buddy of mine had told me, hey, man, we're going to go see this new James Bond movie. I had no idea who the hell James Bond was. So we saw Moonraker. That was the first movie I saw with Roger Moore and James Bond. And I was just a fan after that. I went back and watched the movies before, continued with all the movies that he came with afterwards. He did 7 total Bond movies, and it was just such a shocker to hear that. I mean, and I'm with you, Brian. I feel, man, sometimes it's hard just to look at your phone because you don't know who's next, and it's just, I don't know. It was a shocker to the music and to film with the loss of Chris Cornell and Sir Roger Moore. I'm going to rest in peace, both of you, and my heart goes out to all your family. And oh man, it's rough. I was really bummed about Chris Cornell. I did tear up a couple times, but when I heard Roger Moore, I mean, it was just instant. Like my childhood was just taken away from me. I was like, oh my God. But oh, so tragedy. Two big losses, as well as Powers Booth and or even Big Black. That was a shocker.
But it is, I mean, it is sad that he passed, but it's good knowing because the news recently came out. I guess heart conditions run through his family. So he had basically his daughter is set up for financially because I don't know if he knew this would happen or just because of, you know, past family at heart conditions, but it was nice to know that, you know, he set his daughter up financially.
Well, that's good. At least the loss of a loved one is tough to get through, but that's good that he kind of had the idea. Well, maybe he didn't know he could, but like you said, it does run in his family. So he did think forward to like, just in case, let me set this up for you. And
yeah,
so that was good. But yeah,
not to be a downer. Also, I don't know if you guys know her, Lisa Spooner. I don't know if I said her name correctly. I apologize. She was in the first Clerks movie.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, she just recently passed.
Yeah, saw that on Kevin Smith's post.
Oh, weak. She did.
Yeah.
Oh man, she was I can't remember her name in Clerks, but yeah, I know who you're talking about. Oh man, that sucks. I didn't even know that. Just our heart goes out to everyone's families. Cause it's, geez, she was only 40.
Absolutely.
She was only 44. Oh
yeah.
Said it was natural causes.
And I hate to pile on, but did you hear, the NFL player too that just recently passed away, Cortez Kennedy.
Yes, that was
so. He was an All-Pro and everything when he was around for the Seahawks.
Oh, geez, I didn't even hear that one, man.
Yeah, I heard that one too. Yeah. Ugh.
Hate to pile on.
No, it's all right. I mean, just we're just bringing the news for those of you that didn't know. And like we said before, I mean, our hearts go out to everyone's family, and it's a tough loss for everyone. So, what do you want to do next?
Yeah, if you want to save Alien for the very, very end, we can get into some of the other segments, sports, WWE, collecting.
Let's start with collecting before we roll into sports, because I know sports is going to go a little bit long.
Okay, sounds good.
Well, first of all, Brian, are you a collector of anything?
I collect movies, Funko Pops, you know, other stuff, so I think I have a couple things I can talk about.
All right, well, we always do the Funko Pop stuff.
How
many do you have?
I stopped counting. I probably have at least 150, jeez, somewhere around there.
Nice.
Yeah.
I think I only got like 20 or something like that.
Yeah, when I first started collecting, I might have went a little crazy. And then my wife got involved because she was all about the hunt, finding certain ones. And I've kind of slowed up, but a couple of recent ones I picked up was the Conan ones. I got I forgot what exclusive it was. It has like the blood splatter on it.
Yeah.
Oh, yep.
That's the one that I want. I seen it at the comic book store.
Yeah, and I also got the Red Sonja one too. So I think those are the only ones I picked up. But yeah, mostly my thing is I collect a lot of movies. Got to put a couple Blu-rays this week. Logan and Get Out recently just came out on Blu-ray, so I picked those up.
Was there any special editions for either of those?
I tried to get the Steelbook at Best Buy, but those was gone before I even got there. Oh, and man. I think at Target there's a special edition booklet or something
for Logan.
Yeah, and I think Get Out's just basically standard Blu-ray.
I missed the Steelbook for XXX, Return of Xander Cage. I didn't really care for the first two movies, but I thought the last one was awesome. I mean, just mainly because of Donnie Yen was in it, but. I did like the whole movie for what it was. I saw that there was a steelbook. I went into Best Buy and they said that was gone quick. I was like, damn it.
Yeah, it's Best Buy's been up in their steelbooks, and it just seems like all of a sudden people collect steelbooks now.
I know Target puts out some exclusive ones every now and then, but of older movies. I just picked up 8 Mile. That steelbook. I know there was two steelbooks that I've seen. The first one was just a picture of a microphone on the cover, but the one I picked up, I think it's the second one. It's kind of like how the poster looked for the movie, but it just says 8 Mile and it's showing his hands. So, but
okay.
I also picked up. If we're gonna talk about picking up movies, I picked up Brooklyn. Not Brooklyn. Street Kings with Keanu Reeves. Have you seen that one?
Yes.
Oh, that movie was awesome. I picked that up, and I also picked up the first Pirates movie. It was real cheap at Costco, so I picked that one up. That was my favorite one out of the ones I've seen. I kind of tapped out after the third one, because after that third one, I thought it just got stupid. And then another movie, Kurt Russell. Not too many people have seen this one. It came out, I want to say early 2000s. It was a movie called Dark Blue. He was a cop. He was a cop.
Yeah,
down in
I love
LA.
That movie.
Yeah, that movie was awesome. It was one of those movies where there was nothing else playing at the time, and I'm a big fan of Kurt Russell. So, all right, whatever. It sounds cool. I'll just go watch it. And had no idea it was going to be an awesome movie. Have you seen that one, Theo? Dark Blue?
No, actually, I haven't.
Yeah, you should check that one out. It's pretty good. It's police investigation, crooked cops, right around the time of the whole Rodney King verdict. So that actually ties into the movie, too. But it's an awesome movie. If any of you haven't seen it, it's called Dark Blue. Check it out. But as far as pops and everything else, I look, but I never see anything worth grabbing.
Right. See if I can do this while I'm talking. I should have done it while you guys were on. As far as what I picked up, man, the 3 weeks of checking finally paid off, and Hot Topic, the Maleficent, finally arrived. I guess there was a whole thing where Pops normally hit the West Coast first, but I guess the ship like missed its port or something, so everywhere else except for the West Coast got Maleficent. So finally, after 3 weeks of checking, I'm a serious collector, but that's the most I've ever had to do day after day. Monday through Friday, I was checking for 14 days for 3 weeks, but finally got to Maleficent, and I got the glow-in-the-dark variant one. And then the only other thing I mentioned during Twin Peaks, I was all hyped and got the Laura Palmer one. It's actually kind of creepy, but cool. It's her dead and wrapped up in the plastic. So it's a pretty unique pop, but yeah, it's a little creepy.
This is the Angelina Jolie one? Maleficent?
No, it's based off, I think, more of the original animated one. Oh, okay. But it's got the flames coming up behind her, and the variant one I got, like, glows in the dark, and I love those.
What's the hunt like down there? Because I know up here it can get depressing.
Yeah,
we never get anything.
Yeah, it kind of has a weird balance of where this, you know, small town up here on the coast, way up Northern California. So it's like this weird mix of like when the Pirates of the Caribbean and Spider-Man releases came out at the start of the month, May. There was already a couple guys, Mike, who I've shouted out the past couple episodes. They were already there when I got there. So, you know, there is a following, but at the same time, the last time I was up in Reno, I drove all the way back, stopping all the Targets along the way, checking for the Star Wars Qui-Gon exclusive. Mm-hmm. None of the Targets on the way had it. I finally got back to Eureka around 5 o'clock, walked into the Target here, and it was sitting right there. So it's like a mix of there's definitely people after it, but stuff can definitely sit, like good stuff, like surprisingly will sit. So
I think the only real hunting I did is when we went out that one morning when we were successfully, except for at Target, but you got all the ones you wanted. And yeah, it's hit and miss around here. I mean, well, there's never, we don't even get Pops here. Oh, well, I can't say that. Walgreens gets their exclusives, but as far as Reno, it's hit and miss. I mean, usually they're already ransacked if you're not there right when they first drop. Usually I was just going back and forth into Barnes and Nobles. That was when the Stranger Thing ones came out. I was just looking for Dustin. I didn't get the exclusive one. All I got was just the regular version. But when I'm down the Bay Area, when I look around and I just mainly just see stuff that you could see anywhere. So, but I do look just in case, like you said, maybe one is just sitting there that no one sees, because I have yet to see any of these Chase variants. I've never even seen one like at a con or anything that someone was selling. So I don't know. My fingers are crossed. If I ever see that little sticker, I don't care what it is, I'll just grab it and then turn around and sell it.
Yeah, definitely. I just sent you pictures. They revealed the new WWE Pops. Chris Jericho, Sasha Banks, Million Dollar Man, there's a chase of him, and then Iron Sheik, there's a chase of him, and then Walgreens is getting a two-pack of Enzo Amore and Big Cass.
Yes. Those two are my favorite. I'm definitely gonna pick that up. Enzo's badass. Big Cass. Oh, Iron Sheik. There's two of them. Which one is?
Yeah, the Chase looks like it's the red one, and then Million Dollar Man is just a white suit. So it's actually not that exciting of Chase unless you're really into that look. Like, it's not much of a difference, really.
Yeah, it's basically the same mold for both of them.
Yeah.
Million Dollar Man and Iron Sheik. Just black and white suits and I don't know what they call the thing that Iron Sheik wears on his head. It's not a turban, it's something else. But you guys know, if you know who Iron Sheik is, the thing he wears on his head. I don't want to offend anyone if I say it wrong, so I'm not even going to attempt it. But yeah, the regular one is white and the Chase one is red. I'm fine with either one. I doubt I'll find a Chase, but I'm definitely getting the regular version of Iron Sheik. He's awesome. Oh, Chris Jericho. Yep. He's got the list clipboard, but it doesn't really even look like him. Well, I guess none of them look like each other, but I don't know. I'm looking at the pop right now of Chris Jericho, and it doesn't grab me. Like the Ted DiBiase and Iron Sheik looks just like him, but Chris Jericho.
Yeah, I got to get that Ted DiBiase, but I wish you could see the Million Dollar Belt a little bit better.
You can barely see it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He should at least have it on. Then you'd probably be able to see it better. Just got it over his shoulder and you can hardly see it. But I don't know. We'll see. Sasha Banks. Yeah. She's hot and everything. She's a good wrestler, but we'll see.
Got the like glasses on the head or something?
I just clicked out of it. Yeah, but I want the Enzo and Big Cass. That's exclusive for Walgreens. Walgreens with their exclusives, they're pretty good about it. They're always in there. I never see any of them not there. I mean, they still have the Shawn Michaels and Kane exclusives in there. I pop in there and see those. But they also,
did you know those?
All I got was Kane. I didn't get Shawn Michaels.
Hmm.
The only exclusive I haven't seen in there after I got it was the Yoda one, the Spirit Yoda. Is that what that one was? The clear one?
Yeah.
Okay. That's the only one I've never seen in there again. After I picked that up, I see the Boba Fett one and there was another one in there. I can't remember. The Joker one. That one's always in there, but it's not really a good one. The Joker one I'm looking for is the Dark Knight Joker. I seen it once. I should have grabbed it and I never saw it again, but I don't know. We'll see. But definitely Enzo and Big Cass exclusive. When that comes out, I want to get that one.
Right. Cool. Yeah. I guess that's all I got for collecting this week. Jump on to sports.
Yeah, I'll kick it off. Just A's back and forth. We just got roughed up by. Well, we didn't get roughed up too bad. We had a 2-game series with the Marlins, and I was actually down in Oakland yesterday. I should have went to the game, but I was bumming around, and then I went to the airport, and then I remembered, shit, there was a game. But we lost Tuesday. We lost, and we won yesterday's. It was a close game on Tuesday. It was 9-11, so we were getting beat down in the beginning, and then we kind of came back. And yesterday was 4-1. We've been going back and forth with wins and losses. But then again, like I always say, we got tons of baseball. The next team we go over to, we go back east and head to the Bronx, and we take on the Bronx Bombers, New York Yankees. Hopefully, sweep them up. But I don't know. We'll see. And after that, we go to Cleveland and take out the Indians. So we'll see. But other than that, back and forth like we always do.
Right. When we last recorded, the Giants were down at the bottom of the league. Surprisingly, they went on a run. Last time I checked, I heard they won 8 of the last 10. So they made a little move. But, you know, long season, we'll see if it really means much. Pretty sure they're still at the bottom of the division, so yeah, we'll see.
You watch baseball, Brian?
Not really. I mean, I watched the World Series because it caught my attention. You know, with the two teams that was in it last year and the championship drought that they had, and it was real compelling to watch that one. But not really into baseball.
Well, if you had to pick a team, who would it be?
Because of my father, he'd probably get pissed off if I didn't go with the Baltimore Orioles. I would hear something from him if I rooted for another team.
Right on. As far as that's the only sport that's on for me right now is baseball. So,
you mentioned the Warriors.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You guys are the basketball fans, and everyone knows I'm not, so take it away.
Oh, my team's out, so.
Yeah, we just played, right? Warriors, Spurs?
Yeah, well, I'm a Rockets fan.
Oh, my bad. I thought you were a Spurs fan.
No.
Okay. Well, just real quick then, speaking to your Rockets, what'd you think of Harden in that final game? I know a lot of people were talking about it. Did he just mail it in? He's like, oh, it's over. He didn't want to go for it.
You know what? I don't want to speak bad about my team, but Harden's had this problem. I think it goes back to before he was in the NBA. He tends to just not play as hard when you know. I don't know. I mean, I root for my team until the end, but every year I always feel like we're just missing one piece to you know, to move us forward, and we're always in the mix of getting somebody, but it just never happens. So, you know, I was really hoping for Durant, you know, because him and Harden had that connection in Oklahoma,
right?
But I always knew Durant was neither going to go to the Warriors or the Lakers, you know. And
right,
it's kind of hard to turn down what you guys got there in Golden State.
Yeah, and like I've said so many times, like, I can't even believe where we're at right now. We had so many down years forever going, you know, all the way back to Run TMC, you know. We'd barely get out of the, you know, first round of the playoffs. It felt like we'd never be an elite team. It was like we were always just waiting for the lottery and like, ooh, I hope we get the first pick. But even then, you know, guys like Joe Smith and stuff like that, you know, it just never turned out. Like, I kind of got used to it. I'm a huge basketball fan, but I kind of got used to that the Warriors were never going to be an elite team. Like, that was
Yeah, you guys had some good years there with Baron Davis.
Yeah, the We Believe years. That was really fun. And then it was kind of sad because it just ended. Like, we had the We Believe year, and then, boom, it was over. I was like, oh, we're back to what we always are. So.
But, yeah, I'm kind of just waiting for to get to these finals because I would love to see, you know, even though my team's not in it, but having the Warriors and the Cavs in the finals have been really, really great series of games. And the playoffs have not been interesting because almost every game, not just with the Warriors, but with other teams, have just been blowouts. And
right. Yeah, that's been a problem for sure. I thought personally that the Rockets-Warriors might have made for a better series, and not just before the Kawhi injury even, because they were built to try to outshoot the Warriors, and it would have been interesting to see how that went. I honestly think they probably would have taken at least one where they hit more threes than the Warriors, since they're built that way.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I get, you know, better luck for my team next year.
Yeah, what are you hoping to fill a spot? More big guy.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people gave Dwight Howard a lot of hate. I never hated his game; it was his attitude.
Right.
So I, you know, right now, I don't know what to because we seem to just put all our efforts into going after whoever the biggest free agent is, and we just never land them. So right. I don't really know what's going on with the front office, but
yeah, hard to say. I know whatever. I do like the way that they played this year with the speed and the threes and everything like that.
Yeah. So
it worked until it didn't. And yeah, like we were saying, that was really surprising that they didn't come out to play that final game, because it looked like for sure, because they lost the game previously in overtime. And then the next game was in Houston. So I don't know. You just assumed it was going to go 7 at that point.
Yeah.
Kind of just let it go.
So how you think these finals are going to go? Because most likely, you know, it's going to be the Cavs. I know they had that one slip up.
Yeah, they'll probably finish
Boston. Tonight.
They'll probably finish tonight. It's good to see the Warriors are locked in, and the celebration was minimal for winning the West. So they're locked in, and they know they messed up last year. And oh man, you know, obviously I've heard it. The 3-1 thing. I mean,
yeah,
we did it to the Thunder, and then we had it done right back to us. So, you know, you just got to take it. But honestly, I know it wouldn't be the best TV, but just as a Warriors fan, I'd love to see them roll over them and get the 16-0, just because that'd be incredible to see as a Warriors fan. I don't think that's what's going to happen, but I'd love to see it. And it wouldn't be as stressful to watch the game for them. Because, yeah, that first Spurs game, oh, man. Like, I know we got bailed out by the Kawhi injury, but that was rough. The first half, we were down, like, 26, I think. So, that was rough.
Yeah. It'll be a good series, though.
I got a question for you, Brian.
Yeah.
What do you think of LeVar Ball?
Okay, is that the father, or
that's the dad? Yeah.
That guy is one of the most hilarious people I've ever heard. And his son's $500 pair of shoes.
Right.
That is even funnier. Yes, I guess there was somebody was talking about, I guess you can get Gucci sandals for less than what they're charging for theirs.
That's true.
And I mean, I understand what he's trying to do, because he's trying to create something for his sons to own. But they haven't done anything in the NBA.
And now they're going to be targeted. You know,
yes.
Everybody's going to come at him. Chris Paul, Steph, Harden, Wall, all these point guards are going to know.
I'm predicting he's going to have a really rough rookie year.
Yeah, and I don't know if you've seen his shot. His, like, release is low. Like, it's wide open to get blocked. So
I've watched a couple of his games. You know, I mean, he's good, but I don't necessarily know if he's as good as the hype says. I've seen his younger brother play, and it seems like his younger brother is a little bit better than him.
Right. That's what they say. So
yeah.
We'll see. But I don't know.
That's about as much as basketball as I know is that guy. Cause every time he's always on the front page of something just stupid. Stay in your lane or whatever he said with that t-shirt.
That's probably the most controversial.
He's hilarious.
Thing. Yeah. That's probably the most controversial thing he's done. A lot of people laughed off all the other stuff, but they weren't too happy about the stay in your lane to that lady.
So. Yeah, I know he'll his son will get a little work in from LeBron, because of the father had made comments about LeBron's sons and about them playing ball and how they'll never live up to their father or something to that extent.
Yeah.
So
keep your kids' names out your mouth. Keep my kids' names out your mouth.
Yeah. So that'll be interesting if they ever get matched up.
Right. Yeah. Everybody's gonna be gunning for this kid. Like, I don't know. I don't see how he's going to be able to succeed. Everybody's going to want to show him up just because of everything the father said.
Well, I just hope that I don't even know these two players' names, but I hope that they just keep their mouths shut. I mean, mainly because of their father is what he's done to the career. And it's just concentrate on the game and do the best you can and make their dad look stupid or just come out with a comment. Like, look, I know my dad's is crazy, but don't judge me because of him. So I know, but like you guys said, I know everyone's going to go after these guys. I mean, just to shut their dad down. I mean, it's going to be crappy. It's shitty to say, but I mean, we'll see what happens. So I think I'm going to, what teams are they going to be on? Do you know?
No, they haven't drafted yet.
Okay.
Yeah. But I mean, if you listen to the father, it's the Lakers or no, nowhere.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Well, we'll I don't think anybody told him it doesn't work like that.
Yeah. From a marketing standpoint, it works, but we'll have to see if they actually do it, because a lot of people are saying Fox might be a better fit for the Lakers and better. There's people that already outplayed Ball in college.
Kid
from Kansas, the guys from Kentucky. So I don't know. We'll see.
I never hear anything about them. I mean, are they all right guys, or is it just their dad that's the asshole?
Yeah, they're a little quiet. So I can't remember anything they've actually done that's been controversial. It's just kind of having to answer for their father.
Yeah, I think it's, to that extent. I think it's he does all the talking and then they just follow behind him because, you know, it's their dad. So. And he's pretty much also been like their coach their whole lives too. So they got that type of relationship.
All right.
On that note, before we go any further, you want to hit him with the big revelation of what you're doing? You're going to join Broncos country, I hear.
that's listening to the show. I mean, because we all know that the Raiders are going to Vegas, and I am having no part of that bullshit. So I did initially say that I was not going to have a football team, but I got a new revelation. I really thought about it. I have to stick to the West Coast because all my other friends are, well, you can be a Packers fan or the Zisu here. You could be a Broncos fan or Tommy Boy and my buddy Paul and Sherry. They want me to join the Cowboys and. No, I can't. I have to stay West Coast. I won't be one of these LA teams because I wouldn't even know which one to pick. Rams or the Chargers. I'll never be a 49er fan. Sorry, Steve, but and the only West Coast team is other than those is Seattle, the Seahawks. I think once the season of when the Raiders go down to Vegas, I am going to officially be a Seattle Seahawks fan. A lot of my friends are even family members and that live up there on my wife's side. They're all Seattle fans. And the last time I was up there, I was really looking. I mean, the dedication to the Seahawks up there. Everyone's dedicated to their team as well as the Raider Nation down the Bay Area and everywhere else they're at. They're really diehard. But I mean, I noticed that it was like that up there. Not so much as hardcore as the Raider Nation is, but I liked what I saw up there. How everyone was dedicated to their team and everybody represented. Every storefront had either Mariners or the Seahawks stuff in their windows. And they had that big flag on top of the Space Needle. What was it? Is it 12th Man or something like that? Or
Yeah.
That they had that big flag, that number 12 flag on top of the Space Needle. And another thing that really kind of drew me towards them was the Native American stuff that I see. I mean, the Seahawk, they took I don't want to say Eskimo, but it was kind of like that kind of a design type of stuff. The natives, the coastal natives up that way. I thought that was really sweet and everything. So, I was talking to this one lady that was, selling her, she was doing woodwork, like, not whittling wood, but kind of like that, like carving wood. And she had this big, huge, Seahawks, thing she made out of wood. And I thought that was cool. And she gave me this big explanation of what the Seahawk was and what it does to for Native people up that way. I should have pulled out my phone and recorded what she said. So I think that's probably one of the main reasons, because she really told me that really awesome story. And I gotta have a team. I know I said I wasn't gonna have a team, but I said I love football. I need to watch something, but I can't be a part of this Las Vegas Raiders. I wasn't a part of the LA Raiders. And I'm dedicated to my town. I mean, if the A's leave me, which I hope they don't, Ed, but I need a team. but I'll say this right now. If the A's leave Oakland, I'm going to go to the East Coast, and I'm going to jump on the bandwagon and be a Yankee fan. So.
No. Evil empire.
I don't know. We'll see. But that's in the future. So remember that I said that.
Right. A bonus you get from the Seahawks, too, is the rivalry with the Niners. They play twice a year. So there you go.
All right. Yeah, that was my big revelation. I mentioned it. My wife and I told her, you know, I think I'm going to be the Seahawks fan. And she was like, all right. So I think she's on board, too. She's just as mad as I am about the Raiders leaving Oakland. So. We'll have a team. I don't know if as far as I'm going to go buy a T-shirt that says Seahawks on it, but I don't know. We'll see. Who knows? If anything, I'll get a hat. But a guy that I work with, he was from San Diego, and he was a Chargers fan. And when they moved to L.A., because when I first met him, he was always wearing his Chargers hat. And then all of a sudden it disappeared, and he had a Seattle hat on. And I was like, Did you jump ship? He goes, yeah, fuck them. He goes, I can't be part of the L.A. Chargers. He goes, I'm a Seattle fan now. So I'm like, oh, right on. At that time, I didn't think I was going to be a Seattle fan, but just talking about it, I remember, shit, he's got a Seattle Seahawks fan. So I'll talk to him later when I get to work and tell him that I'm switching. I'm going up north, too. So sorry, everybody. That's it.
Revelations.
But you got any other sports?
No, but I guess it'd be a good time to head into Backlash.
Yep. We're going to go into the WWE pay-per-view that happened last Sunday in Chicago at the I can't remember, somewhere in Chicago, wherever they have their arena over there. But we had the 2017 Backlash. Did you check the whole show out, Brian?
Yes, I did.
I always miss the kickoff match, but I'm just going to kind of run through who won and everything. The first kickoff match was, I don't like these guys anyway. Tyler Dillinger defeated Aiden English. Did you see that match?
Yeah, I'm confused on what they're doing with Ty Dillinger. I don't. They just brought him up from NXT to, I have no idea what they're doing with this guy.
Yeah, I mean, I feel you on that. I mean, I don't want to say they're bringing up all these NXT guys a little too quick, but I know it always goes back to the main roster guys getting hurt and they need to fill the spot, but I don't know. We'll see. Hopefully they do something good with them. I mean, I like the NXT run, but I don't know about now. We'll see. The first match was probably the one that I was really excited for, but I don't know why it was first. I thought it would be at least mid-card or maybe close to the main event, was Shinsuke Nakamura taking on Dolph Ziggler. I'm a huge Nakamura fan, not as much as Big Jesse from Horacopia. That's his favorite. He defeated Dolph Ziggler, the show off. I've always loved Dolph Ziggler. I mean, he goes back and forth with me, heel to babyface and everything, but I think it's kind of like he's a good character, and he's an amazing wrestler. He always puts in 110%. And Nakamura, man, there was sometimes, man, when they were doing those kicks, man, I thought Ziggler would have knocked out Nakamura, because it didn't look like he pulled that kick, because Nakamura looked like he got kicked in the jaw hard. What did you think of that match?
It was a decent match. It was I am a little confused on why it was first.
Yeah,
because he came to SmackDown what, like a little over a month ago, and this was his first match, and it was a lot of build up to it. And this is another NXT guy that I just hope they just didn't bring up just to fill the roster.
I don't think so. I mean, he already had a huge following, and I think he did what he had done already for NXT. So I think it was only right to bring him up. Yes, he wasn't in NXT very long, but
I kind of feel like they're trying to water him down, because they don't call him the King of Strong Style. They call him the artist. The artist known as Shinsuke or something. I don't know what they're.
I don't know. I mean, they do have the Strong Style T-shirts that I see that the fans are wearing, and I think that the announcers, depending on who it is, they do say it every now and then. But I don't know. We'll see. I mean, I see nothing but greatness for him. I think he's gonna go all the way to the top. So that's what I hope.
Yeah.
Next match is Jeez Louise, why are people calling me? The Usos versus, these guys are stupid. It's Tyler Breeze and Fandango, but they called it a Breezango.
the fashion police.
I'm not a Tyler Breeze fan. He just bugs me. I never liked this whole selfie thing and thinking he's awesome.
You don't like the Prince of Pretty?
No. I hated when he'd come out. His selfie stick is all got fur or something around it, and he pauses. I'm like, oh man, this is all stuff from NXT that he's bringing to SmackDown. And Fandango, I can take him or leave him. I mean, he's a good wrestler. He does what he does, but the Usos, I'm not buying this heel run. They were too happy and cool in the beginning. Now they're thinking they're super hardcore gangster, and I'm like,
it works for me. I mean, I don't know. I always had this vision of the Usos and like Roman Reigns and what's their other cousin, Nia Jax.
Yeah.
Just kind of forming this heel group, but it just seems like they never play off the fact that they're all related.
I guess I can see that. I think Roman, it's only a matter of time before he turns heel. I think they're trying to start to push him that way, but we'll see. But
yeah, I would, like I said, I would love to see him as a heel group. And if I was writing this, I would bring Rikishi back as the head of it.
That'd be awesome to see him. I mean, it's always cool when he pops in every now and then. But the Usos, I'm a huge fan of theirs. I mean, and I love them, Jimmy and Jay. But this heel run, I don't know. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, maybe it'll just get better as we go along. But yeah, they took out Breezango, and that's Tyler Breeze. Anyone else but him, I can't stand him. But that match was okay. I mean, it kind of went back and forth, but it was nothing spectacular. I mean, this whole pay per view was kind of back and forth, hit and miss on what was going on, because I was like watching, but then I was on my phone, and then I was like, because it was just not super exciting. Because it started off with Nakamura and Ziggler right from the get-go, and I'm like, well, that's what a lot of people, as well as myself, were excited they wanted to see, and then you're going to be that. That's going to be first, but who knows? I don't know what the development, and not development, what the writers are thinking, but the next match was Sami Zayn. He defeated Baron Corbin. A lot of people are all over Sami Zayn's nuts, and I'm not. I did like him in NXT. I felt really sorry for him when Kevin Owens just beat the hell out of him and almost ended his career. At that point, I was like, ooh, that, yes, it's scripted, but I don't know. It looks like they just went for it, and Sami Zayn looked
like. Didn't he legitimately hurt his shoulder?
Yeah.
Off of that? Yeah.
If it wasn't that, I mean, it was definitely his neck, because I don't know if he has brain damage, but because he did not know where the hell he was in that match. It's probably, like, to me, one of the best NXT matches ever. I know someone's probably yelling at me, but I thought it was awesome because Zayn and Owens went hard on that one. That was actually a few years ago. I'm going to have to go back and watch that one again. But just the look on Sami Zayn, he was just like dazed and didn't know what the hell was going on. And they just, I mean, they tell their wrestlers, man, you, no matter what, you got to keep going. So that was an awesome match. But Baron Corbin, I can take him or leave him. I think he has potential to be somebody awesome. He is one of the big wrestlers, like big in size. So I think he has what it takes to be a champion. Maybe not the heavyweight champion or anything, but I think he'll eventually get a belt of some sort. But we'll see. But Sami Zayn beated him. I was like, oh, all right, whatever. I know they're pushing they're pushing the hell out of Sami Zayn, but I think Baron Corbin, I mean, I think he should have won for just pure strength and size, but not all big guys win, so we'll see. What'd you think of that one?
It was, you know, it was a toss-in match for me. I honestly, I didn't see Sami winning this because, you know, they're giving Baron a big push, so I don't know where this feud goes, or if this is done after this or what. But I don't know. I'm not a big fan of Sami Zayn either.
I mean, he's good, but I just, not for, they're trying to sell him too hard to us. I think that's why I don't really care for him. But the next match was a 6-woman tag team match. I was excited for this, but it wasn't like, wasn't nothing really exciting. I love all the wrestlers that were in it, but that's why I was hoping for greatness, and I didn't get it. But the first team was Natalya, and the next is the Queen of Staten Island, Carmella. I love her. And Tamina, I love her too. She's just as badass. They defeated the SmackDown Women's Champion, Naomi, and her team was Charlotte Flair and Becky Lynch. I forgot that Charlotte had came down to SmackDown, I think it's cool because I think she's gonna get the belt again, so that'd be awesome.
Yeah, man. I don't like Charlotte as a baby face. I just don't like it. She's meant to be a heel.
Yeah. At first, when she started out as a face, and then she just turned into this heel. I think I like the heel run better. But at first I was thinking, why is she a heel? But she has done a good job. And yes, she's riding the coattails of her dad. It's kind of impossible not to. She does the woo and everything like the Nature Boy Ric Flair. So, but I mean, I do like her. She does go hard when she wrestles, man. She does top rope stuff. She does the flips out of the ring onto the floor and everything. So I think that's, she's got that. She's building her legacy up. And Becky Lynch, she was also on their team. I've always liked her, but I just kind of wish that they were pushing her for a while, but it seems like they kind of stopped a little. And
yeah, she kind of got lost in the mix.
Yeah, so I'm hoping that they push her back to the front because she was a really good champion when she was it. But Naomi, I'm still happy for her. I was glad the first time that she had won, then she got it back. Because she was one of those on the women's roster where it seemed like they were just, she's just here to fill up space. And I think I really started to like her when with the Total Divas show. She was really cool on that, so I thought she was amazing. So I'm glad that she's finally getting her title run. So I hope she can continue on. But yeah, this match was nothing special. It was just back and forth, and I wasn't. I mean, I'm a big Natalya fan. I wish they were pushing her for a while. I think they really push her a little bit more on Total Divas. But all the women, they're all awesome. But I think in the future, I think Tamina's gonna be the champ because the way she's run, the way she runs through them all, I don't see why she can't be the champ.
That would make me so happy. She is totally underused, has been ever since she's been in the WWE. It's just sad to me because I see her as a dominant champion, and she knows how to put forward like what they're trying, like how do I put this, like Nia Jax. I don't feel like she's dominant. I don't feel like how they're trying to push her, but I feel like Tamina can be that person. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I like Nia Jax and she can power through everyone, but I think Tamina has that ability to be a woman's champion. So, it seems
she looks mean. Oh, she just looks mean.
Hell yeah. So, hell yeah, she does. I mean, she looks like her dad. So
yeah, like Nia Jax, I don't feel that from her. Nia Jax can use a manager to speak for her, honestly.
Yeah, she's not very good on the mic, and she's got the size. I mean, Nia Jax, she's big and she can run through them all. But I don't know. I think she's maybe just a filler. I mean, that's a shitty thing to say, but. I don't know, but Tamina, I think she has the ability to be that champion. So who knows? We'll see. Because I know the belt lately has just been going back and forth between if it's not Becky, it's they had a little blonde girl's name,
Alexa Bliss.
Yeah, I mean, I like Alexa Bliss and everything, but she's too little. I mean, Charlotte can run through her, and Tamina definitely can tear her. Even Natalya. I mean, Natalya, I mean, I don't know, man. I think that, I mean, she's from the legendary family, but I don't know why they don't ever let her be the champ. So I don't know. We'll see. Any of you writers are listening, give Tamina the belt or Natalya at least, and we'll see. Because everyone else has pretty much had it. Carmella, I like her. But I don't ever think she would be a champion. But who knows? I mean, they'll probably just do it to prove me wrong. But out of all of them, I think Carmella would be the very last one. But who knows? I like her character. She's a good heel. She talks a lot of shit and she plays a role. So I think that's why I like her. Other than she's hot, I mean, that's why I like her character. The next match was the United States Championship match. Didn't go. I mean, I love Kevin Owens, but it didn't go the way I wanted it to go. He defeated AJ Styles, the phenomenal one. And this match I was excited for too, but it just kind of didn't do anything for me. I was kind of like, okay, that's it. What'd you think?
Yeah, I missed majority of this. I caught the ending with the count out.
Yeah, that was stupid. And
yeah, I don't know. It didn't go as how I thought it would go. And what are they doing with Kevin Owens?
I don't know.
Because it looked like they were trying to do this new evolution thing with him and Samoa Joe. And I don't know. I don't know what they're doing with Kevin Owens. And I know they've been pushing this United States title like it's bigger than the world title almost.
He's the face of America. yeah, I mean, I like Kevin Owens, man. I mean, he's an awesome performer, but I don't know what they're doing with him. They're just throwing him all over the place. I mean, he plays a role and he does it good. He's good on the mic. He can talk a lot of shit, but I don't know what they're doing with him. And AJ Styles, I mean, I think they brought him in and they're just throwing him all over the place as well. But I mean,
yeah,
I mean, he's still going along with it. He still likes what he's doing. So that's cool. But the next match, I could care less. Luke Harper, he defeated Eric Rowan. It was just like, eh.
Yeah, why is this before the main event?
Exactly. If anything, this should have been first. And I was just like, okay, whatever. I mean, two big guys. I was never really a fan of that. Well, I'm a fan. I think I'm more of a fan of Eric Rowan than Luke Harper because I never liked him. And I never really liked the whole Wyatt family thing.
I don't understand the beef here because Bray Wyatt's not even on SmackDown anymore.
I don't know. Who knows what they're doing with these guys, but it was definitely not a match before the main event. I thought that just brought the show down. And I think we're not the only ones. You can also look into the crowd. There was all kinds of people walking around. So I know everybody was running to the bathroom and getting snacks and stuff and getting a beer. So let's roll into the main event, the WWE Championship match. This was a match that I tried to stay away from all. It was hard to stay away from the social media because I just had to be in it. But looking at wrestling stuff, I didn't want to know who won. And I did pretty good, man. I didn't find out. But it was spoiled for me a little bit because someone said something. But I was like, ah, so I knew where it was going. But I'm happy. Jinder Mahal, the Maharaja, he defeated the Viper, Randy Orton. I see what they're trying to do here, but just because WWE is going into India and this would be good for them as a business, for the fans of India to have their champion, which is Jinder Mahal. And I think he's good. I mean, I always thought he was cool. He was a little more of a jobber back in the days when he was just the 3MB, which I loved. I thought was funny because I like Heath Slater, but it was cool that they brought him back. He had just did an episode of Talk Is Jericho, and they were asking him how he came back into the whole WWE because he was let go a while ago, and he just said he was just like on a downfall. He was just partying, drinking, getting all fat. He was doing indie stuff, but he wasn't really into it. I think he was mainly doing it just to put money in his pocket. But then he said one morning he woke up and said, what am I doing? I need to get back into shape. So he just quit drinking. He just hit the gym hard, and then it must have paid off because then they called him up and said, hey, we want you to come back. So he said he's in the best shape of his life right now, which is true, because when he first came back to SmackDown, when he came out and you saw how ripped he was, I was like, damn, who is this? Because it wasn't the Jinder Mahal that left. I know what they're doing. I know what Vince is doing. This is for the whole India thing, and it's cool. I'm all for it, man. Jinder Mahal, he's paid his dues. Give him the belt. Bring him to India. Everyone's gonna hoot and holler for him. So that's cool. I mean, it's good. So, but I was rooting for him the whole time. I mean, Randy Orton, he's had the belt who knows how many times, and I think it's Jinder Mahal's time. I don't know if he'll ever get it again. But hey, I guess once is better than none. I did like the match. It did kind of get a little slow towards the end, when they were just hugging a little too long. But, the only thing I know why they're there, the Singh brothers, but I was kind of like, yeah.
Oh my gosh. Did you see when Randy dropped one of them on the back of his neck on that table?
Yes. Randy knew he did it.
That look on his face. I was like, oh my gosh, he killed somebody.
I know. Out of that whole match, that move right there. I watched it again this morning, and my son, I said, watch this part. And he came right down on his neck and his head. I was like, oh, I'm surprised he even got back up.
Yeah, and then Randy goes over there and picks him up again. I'm like, no, I need the officials to do the little cross thing with their arms because that guy needs medical help.
Oh my god!
I was happy with the outcome too. I would be happy if Jinder had a long run as champion.
Yeah,
Let him run with it. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, let him go a few pay per views. Don't just take it from him. What's the next one? Money in the Bank. I mean,
yeah.
Let him roll with it for a while. Don't just give it to him and just pull it away from him. So, but I don't know. We'll see. But I don't know which one of the ones that got slammed on his head, the Singh brothers. I know why they're there. I mean, for the comic relief and just to interfere in the matches. So, but yeah, I think out of the whole pay-per-view, I think that one move of that guy getting slammed on his head just it made everybody go, ooh.
And just the look on Randy's face was just priceless, because it was a smile, but at the same time it was like, oh no, kind of.
It was like a whoops.
Yeah.
But yeah, Jinder Mahal pulled it out at the end and pinned the Viper 1-2-3, and the celebration on SmackDown on Tuesday night, which was awesome. And
yeah,
after the whole match, I went back and I started reading the comments on Facebook and stuff, and the racism of the WWE fans just because Jinder Mahal is the champ. I was like, it's unbelievable. You knew it was going to be there, but the comments of these Facebook tough guys.
Yeah.
I was like, it's a show, guys. Take it easy. And them talking about his celebration that he had on SmackDown. I mean, it was he didn't come out burning the American flag or anything. And all these everybody was going crazy over it. I was like, oh my god, America, calm down. It's a show and something that wrestling fans love. I mean, but I'm sure Vince was like, yeah, this is what I want. He wants controversy. Oh,
you know, the cash register sound effects was going off, and
yeah,
you know, they're going to play off of it.
Yeah. So hopefully, who knows, maybe that'll be sticking his head. Okay, this is a good run. Let's run with it for a while. So, Jinder Mahal, man, congratulations, man. You definitely deserve this championship for all the wackiness they made him do before. So, but
did you check out NXT TakeOver?
I didn't see any of it yet. I mean, I still need to watch it. I did say I stayed clear of all that too. I don't know who won any of it, so
I ain't gonna say nothing, but there was quite a few wrestlers that really impressed me, and I'm really looking forward to that day when they get called up to the main card, the main roster.
Cool. And I'll definitely check that out pretty soon. Hope maybe today. So, but as far as the whole pay-per-view, what did you think?
It was okay. It, you know, it was a lot of filler matches, a lot of stuff I didn't understand. Like again, the whole Luke Harper, Eric Rowan match, that could have been the pre-show right there.
Yeah. I feel you.
I don't know. I thought SmackDown was kind of on the rise, but right now I don't necessarily know. Other than Jinder Mahal, I wasn't really too happy about everything. It was okay at best.
Yeah, I mean, the two matches that I was most excited for sandwiched all the rest of the just okay mediocre stuff. I mean.
Yeah, maybe they knew it was going to be like that. That's why they scheduled the matches like that.
Yeah, I mean, Eric Rowan and Luke Harper should have been one of the kickoff matches, and maybe could have let one of the other matches go a little bit longer. But I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll see. We're not on the writing team, so. But overall, I feel you. It was an okay pay-per-view. I mean, I said it before. There was times where I was just looking at my phone because I didn't really care what was going on. But I watch every pay-per-view. The next one is Money in the Bank. And the stuff they had down on SmackDown with the six people that are in it. I'm cool with who are the six. It was Shinsuke, Ziggler, Kevin Owens is at they're supposed to be just five men, but now there's six. Kevin Owens is in it. Baron Corbin is in it. AJ Styles. And who was the last person? Oh, Sami Zayn. Yeah, he's in it. The six-man ladder match for the Money in the Bank. So that'd be cool. I'm pushing for AJ Styles win. But who knows? We'll see.
I think Baron Corbin takes it.
Yeah.
Honestly. And I think he holds on to that briefcase for majority of the year.
Yeah, I think I can see that. The way they were pushing him for a while. Everyone right now is just saying Nakamura is going to win. I don't think it's his time yet. I mean, he's awesome and everything, and I love him, but I think let him build up to it. I know a lot of the fans just want to give it to him, but I don't know. We'll see. Like I said, I'm rooting for AJ Styles, but I feel you on the Baron Corbin. Who knows? We'll see. When is that? Next month? Or was it July? I want to say next month, but I don't know. I could be wrong.
I think it is, yeah, next month, June 18th.
Oh, so okay, that's just a few weeks away. But oh man, yep. Well, hey Brian, thanks for coming on. I knew sports was going to be good because you and Zisu here are both basketball lovers, and you and I are wrestling lovers. So that's probably like the longest sports section we've ever had. So
it's nice to come on, man, because I don't really get to talk much about anything. Other than movies, I might sneak in a different kind of movie or show every now and then, or mention sports, but don't get to really have lengthy conversations about it.
Well, that's good, man. You're always welcome, man. The door's always open all right for you.
Thank you.
Zisu, you still there, or did you fall asleep?
Oh, yeah, I'm here.
I'm sure you had no idea who we were talking about. So.
Yeah.
I got
wrestling notes for you, actually. Did you see that picture going around? I saw it on all the sports centers and sports media of Braun Strowman. It was like a picture that kind of went viral of his arm kind of cut up.
Yeah, he got hurt.
Yeah.
Was it during Raw or was it a house show? I don't remember.
I don't remember it necessarily either. It might have been at Raw.
He got hurt a while back, and they just, I don't know. I know they didn't think it was that bad of an injury, but now it just seems like it's getting worse. But I don't know. I have a feeling that they were pushing him hard. I think he was going to probably be the next champions, but I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do. So I don't know. We'll see once he gets all healed up and comes back. I think he's going to be back onto his reign of destruction, because he was running through everyone for a while.
Yeah, I think he's going to be out for a while, though.
Yeah, there'll probably be a buildup. I mean, just get better, get back in the gym, and get your arm back into working order. But then the promos are going to start of him coming back. I don't know what he'll probably, if he doesn't make his return on Raw, I think he'll be like at one of the pay-per-views or something. But who knows? We'll see.
Yeah, the other is just super quick. I don't know if you've been keeping up with the Slam app, but I guess they every time one of these pay-per-view comes along, they have a kind of a big push of cards for that. And I've been helping Sherry. I open the pack or the app daily to just gather the points. And she was collecting some of the cards, the signatures, digital cards for Backlash. So I don't know if you're keeping up.
Yeah, I get my coins every day. I don't know. It's an app, Brian, if you don't know what we're talking about. It's like a virtual or like buying collector's cards. These are wrestling cards.
Okay.
You get this app, and every day you get coins. And then you just buy packs, and they usually just give you like five cards. All the ones that I've been buying lately have just been doubles of stuff I have. Every now and then I'll get a new card, but it's just something fun to do.
Yeah,
I get you can trade with people from all over the world or whoever, or trade with your friends. It's just another It's just another app. But I mean, I like it. I mean, at first I was kind of like, eh. Because Zisu here was trying to pawn it on off of me. And I was like, all right, whatever. Because there was a Star Wars one as well. So we do that one. And we do the WWE one. So,
yeah.
I still have a lot of coins. I go in there and I'm still really not understanding what's going on here. So I just buy packs just to buy them. Just to see what I can
get.
But
around the time of the next pay-per-view, I'll... probably call you up and tell you the one to open, because I usually just save up and then I open the one that Sherry wants so she can get it. You know Steve Greer, right?
Yeah.
He's a huge fan of it. I don't know how much, but he's dropped a ton of real funds on it, which is, I can't even imagine, but yeah, he loves it. So.
All right. Yeah, that's it for sports. If you got anything else.
Yep, that's it. How about Star Wars moment?
Yeah, go for it.
A little different this week. Normally I pull out the book, have Nez give me a year. I just want to mention the Vanity Fair covers. It's coming out. It's a whole photo shoot from Last Jedi. There's going to be four covers. One is the Force with Luke and Rey. One is the Dark Side, has Kylo, Hux, and Phasma with her helmet off. And I'm wondering if that's just for the photo shoot or if she will appear like that in the film. They've got a Resistance cover, has Poe Dameron, BB-8, Finn, and the new character Rose. That's cool. And then they gave Carrie Fisher her own cover, and it says The Legacy on it. So. Pretty exciting.
Getting yeah, I saw those. I thought it was cool. I did like the picture of Phasma without her helmet, because I just I love her.
Cool.
I love her in Thrones, which I still need to catch up on. Everyone, I know people have been and bugging me. Just
yeah, it's almost time.
I've been busy. Get on it. I've been busy. Everybody, I'll get to it. I'll get to it. We'll try to put out that next show before the. When does the next season start?
Right before the con.
Okay, so, well, plenty of time, plenty of time.
Yeah, jump on it.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm going to conquer next before I start doing anything else. Because, yeah, I've been, all this stuff is starting to pop up about Thrones, and I'm like just not even reading,
right.
Not even looking at it, just go on. I don't want anything ruined for me. So.
Right. Yeah. They released a second series of photos from the magazine issue. It's pretty cool. There's a shot of Kylo, shot of Rey, shot of Carrie and her daughter, shot of Luke and Leia. It's really nice. It was really exciting, too, to finally see Laura Dern and Benicio del Toro. And I really do try to avoid any kind of story spoilers or anything like that, but I couldn't help avoid... when they cast both of them, that they said Laura Dern was Resistance and Benicio del Toro was First Order. And as far as these pictures go, they really don't look like it. So I think the initial rumors might have been false. And maybe they're both undercover, and maybe that's the whole thing with this. But it was kind of cool to see that, you know, there's going to be a lot to be surprised about.
Yeah, we'll see. Fuck, man, I forgot what I was going to say. I don't know. If I remember, I'll bring it back up. I just got a brain fart and just totally spaced.
Yeah, no problem. Do we want to do Alien or recommendations and then Alien Truly last?
Let's do the Alien Truly last. Recommendations, I messaged you, Brian, about that. Do you have your we'll start with movies before we do the music. Do you have a movie you want to recommend this week for the listeners?
Okay, yeah. Yeah, on our Facebook group, I had posted recommendations to watch to pair with the Wonder Woman, and there was a lot of good ones, especially from you. You were hitting us left and right. And apparently, I spoke too soon. We already had a movie paired up, but what I was going to do was I was going to do little mini reviews on the show. I was going to watch every movie suggested. And there was a movie suggested for Supergirl, the original.
Uh-huh. With Helen Slater?
But I ended up watching The Legend of Billie Jean, and that is my recommendation, because the first time I seen this movie, I kind of had a thing for Helen Slater.
I still do. I met her at a con, and she was an awesome lady.
Yeah, and you know, what can I say? You know, and plus it has Christian Slater. You know, I loved his movies when I was younger. You know, Pump Up the Volume, Heathers, Gleaming the Cube.
Yeah.
And so that's my movie recommendation right there is The Legend of Billie Jean.
I love this movie. I mean, I saw it when it first came out, and I was instantly in love with her. Yes, Christian Slater and Helen Slater have the same last name, but they are not related. They play brother and sister in the movie, though. We also got Keith Gordon in that one. And what's his name? Peter Coyote. He was I think it was just a cop or something, a sergeant or whatever in that one. But this is an amazing movie. I loved it. Awesome, uh-huh. Awesome soundtrack. The main title from Pat Benatar, Invincible. I love that song. Every time I hear that song, I just got to scream, throw my hands up and say fair is fair. But yeah, that movie is awesome. I just recently picked it up on Blu-ray not too long ago, and I watch it all the time. And even when it comes on TV, it don't matter what part, I'll end up sitting there watching it. This is one of those movies where I can just throw in and not ever get bored of it. I can clean house or do whatever, yeah, as long as it's on. But this is an amazing movie. I love it. Good choice.
Thank you. Thank you.
Zisu, what do you got?
I got 2009's Sherlock Holmes, because I was looking for something to relate to this episode. I already talked about it during King Arthur. If you haven't seen it, I definitely recommend checking it out. When compared to the two, I really enjoyed Sherlock Holmes. As you already heard, I was a little bit more on the fence with King Arthur, but I really did enjoy his Guy Ritchie's take on Sherlock Holmes, Jude Law and Robert Downey Jr.'s portrayal in it. So, yeah, I was just looking for someone to relate to this episode. So, yeah, 2009's Sherlock Holmes.
I am going to go back to 1979 with James Bond's Moonraker. This is the very first, I don't know, did I ever, no, I said View to a Kill when we did the recommendations. This is the very first James Bond movie I mentioned earlier that I had seen, and how I was introduced to Roger Moore and the whole James Bond universe. I had no idea there was other movies before this one. I did go back and watch all those, but Roger Moore is my James Bond, and Moonraker, it's cheesy and funny. Roger Moore was more of the comedic James Bond, because we had Sean Connery and what's his face before. He only did one movie. I can't remember his name. Sorry, but we had the more seriousness of the James Bond role. But when Roger Moore took over late 70s, pretty much all the way through the 80s until Timothy Dalton took over. His character, his portrayal of James Bond was just like, was cool, it was smooth, and he was badass, but he was also funny. He always threw in these little one-liners or these little puns and everything. And I think that's why I loved it so much. But me, as a James Bond fan, Roger Moore will always be James Bond to me. And like we said earlier, he did pass. So rest in peace, Sir Roger Moore. And my pick this week is 1979's Moonraker.
Nice pick.
Yep, cool. Still a huge fan of View to a Kill with its Bay Area ties and everything.
Yeah. People are texting me and calling me. Sorry, everybody, but. Music.
That's okay.
Brian, what do you have for us musically?
Okay, people that know me know that I'm a hip hop head, but I recently watched this movie. I don't know if you got to see it. It's a newer movie, The Devil's Candy. And there was a song at the who's seen it?
I've heard of it, but I haven't seen it.
Okay. Basically, there was a song at the end that just reminded me how badass that song is, and it is Metallica's From Whom the Bell Tolls. And I have been listening to this. I've been doing a lot of spring cleaning, and I got this song on repeat, and I am just powering through everything. And that is my song recommendation there.
I just came
thought
back.
I'd do something a little different than what I usually.
I just came back from seeing them out in Ohio at a Rock on the Range. I know I'm going to do a show on that, everybody.
Yeah, how was that?
I'm going to do a show on it pretty soon. I meant to do it, but everything's piling up on me. It was awesome time. It was amazing. Metallica always puts on a good performance. And I want to say that is my favorite, all-time favorite Metallica song that you picked right there, For Whom the Bell Tolls. I rock to it every time they play it.
Oh, nice.
I listen to it all the time. I'm a drummer, and I love to play along to it. I just put my headphones on and just play along. Lars Ulrich, awesome drummer. They came off an amazing album, Ride the Lightning, and I love that song. That song just rocks. I mean, just listening to the album, the studio version, but when you're hearing it live right there in front of you, man, the music in that song just takes over me. I can't help but just fucking rage in the pit or just sit there and just air guitar, air drum, headbang through the whole thing. Can't headbang as much as I used to back in the days because now my neck's starting to hurt, but I'm just getting old. good choice, man. That's an awesome song. I love it. What do you got for us, Zisu?
I wanted to go with something Soundgarden, so I also want to go with something that maybe went a little under the radar, even though it was right there. So from the Avengers soundtrack, actually, 2012, they did a track for that, which kind of ended the film, Live to Rise. And I always thought that was a cool track. And I don't know, did Soundgarden actually do anything after that? Did they ever record again?
I am looking right now. Hold on. I want to say they did do something, but shit.
After man. That, okay.
Yeah, hold on.
Yeah, that's actually the last ones I'm aware of, so.
I don't think they did.
Yeah.
Well, when their last album was King Animal, 2012?
Yeah.
Yeah, 2012 was Avengers.
Oh, yeah, I guess that was the last thing. I know they were in the works of doing something. I don't know if they recorded anything. I'm hoping they did. Maybe they'll put it out, or just if they do some rough cuts or something, put it out. That would be awesome. I mean, just for Soundgarden fans. But, yeah, like Brian said, King Animal 2012, that was the last thing they did. But, tragic. Are you done?
Yeah. Go
okay,
for it.
I am also going to pick a Soundgarden song from their 1984 release, Super Unknown. Awesome album. If you guys haven't heard it, check it out. And this is going to be my pick. Is going to be track 3, "Fell on Black Days." And the day I found out, or the morning I found out that Chris Cornell had passed, I instantly went to this song and played it over and over and over, and it just, I don't want to say it just made me more sad, but it was just, it was, I don't know how to put it in words, but I just felt, fell on black days. It says it in the title, but I'm sure that's not the meaning behind the song, but it was just, that was the first song that popped in my head when I read the news and everything. And I've always loved this song. I think it's probably my favorite song on that album. I know a lot of people go to either Spoon Man or Black Hole Sun, but I always thought that it was the most powerful song on the whole album. Yeah, that's going to be my pick this week. Fell on Black Days from Soundgarden's Super Unknown. Awesome album. Everyone check it out. got a little choked up there.
Yeah. Definitely.
All right. Now we're going to roll into the big movie. When did it come out? Last week? Or was it this week?
Yeah. Last week. It's still in its first week of release.
Okay. I know, Brian, I know you guys did a show on this. I was sitting there listening to it when I don't know where I was. I was on the plane and I was listening to it, and I was like, man, I wish I was in that conversation with you guys.
you know what? I really wanted you to be there. I know I'd seen on Facebook you and Lance had a different of opinion about the movie.
Yeah.
So I kind of wanted you to be there for that discussion.
We went back and forth on Messenger on how much he had loved it. I mean, I loved it for what it was, but I was just kind of a little more disappointed with some of the imagery and some of the plot holes that were in it throughout, because these alien movies, if you're a fan, keep the AVP movies out of this. I mean, they have nothing to do with the timeline, but I do love those movies. It just didn't answer anything. Like Prometheus didn't answer anything. But I love Prometheus. But this is a movie. This is Alien Covenant. The synopsis, the crew of a colony ship bound for a remote planet discovered in uncharted paradise with a threat beyond their imagination and must attempt a harrowing escape. That's pretty much it. If you've seen the trailer, you pretty much know what's going on in this one. But before we really get into it, Zisu, what did you think of it? I mean, were you happy with it or what?
I was mostly happy with it. By the time the film ended, a little less, I guess I would say. There are parts of it for me that felt like they were almost retreading Prometheus, but this time with just more alien element. A lot of people said, you know, they were disappointed in how little alien element was in Prometheus. So yeah, I was fine with the effects. I know even going into it you had mentioned not liking the image of the alien on top of the ship as they were kind of trying to take off, but I was fine with that. Mostly fine with the story and the performances, but I don't know. I do have this article here for you. I want to let you jump in with your thoughts, but I found an article. I wanted to ask you guys these five questions I have. So,
Hold on a second.
Yeah, I would let you go on first.
Hold on. Fair warning, everybody. We're going to spoil this one heavily because we can't talk about it without spoiling it. And Brian, like you guys said on your show,
that was my that was my problem. I couldn't give, or because they threw it to me first, and I didn't know what to say, because a lot of the movie, if you try to talk about it, it's a spoiler,
right?
Yeah, so that's why I was kind of like, I don't know. it the whole movie is a spoiler, but I'm sure. A lot of you diehard Alien fans had already seen it, so you know what we talk about. But if you haven't seen this yet and you don't want to hear what we're going to say, all I can say is we're going to be spoiling this from now to this point to the end of the show. So
right.
You listen to the beginning of the show, stop, go see the movie, and come back. So I just wanted to throw that warning out. But as far... I heard what you said about it, Brian. But Zisu, I don't know if you listen to their show or not. But
not yet.
Why don't you start it off, Brian? What did you think of the whole thing? I mean, just feel free to go for it.
Okay. I went into it with a different set of eyes because I knew that this was going to be one of many movies, and I think Lance or Philip had put it, it's a puzzle. They're just putting different pieces in. And I went with that, kind of leaving everything else out, kind of leaving the Alien, because we reviewed the Alien movies. I went through the whole series. I just went at it as this is a continuation from Prometheus. And I really enjoyed the story. Yes, I know there's plot holes. There's quite a few plot holes. But I enjoyed the acting in it. I thought Michael Fassbender was great in it as David. Also as Walter, I believe his name was.
Yep.
Yeah. And I'm really interested to see where this story takes us. Now, if the next movie comes along and I'm still saying that there's a bunch of plot holes, then I'm going to start worrying. But overall, I thought the story did what it needed to do, and I enjoyed the acting. Kevin, I do agree with you. The CGI was shitty in this movie. That was like my main point in my review.
I noticed it. I was hoping that it was just a rough cut of the trailer that they threw out with the xenomorph imagery that they showed us in the trailer. They don't show us what the other types of aliens that they put in this, but with that one, I was just like, it didn't look good. And I saw the movie twice, and watching it again, I was really paying attention to see if there was practical alien effects. The only thing I caught was the face huggers. I think a lot of it was CGI when it was running around, but when it was like right there attached to someone, I think that was practical effects. But as far as Xenomorph, I don't think there was any. If there was, it was really fast.
There was one I saw.
And that's what drove me crazy because.
Go ahead, Brian.
Oh, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I was just saying that drove me crazy because I know they hired actors that were like close to 7 feet tall to play the Neomorphs. So I was really confused at why it was so heavily CG'd.
I can understand the little small ones and everything, but once they got, they're pretty much their full size. With all the other ones, with the past movies, I think there was only CGI in Alien 3 and Resurrection. But I love these movies about the practical effects. I mean, with the Alien, they could have easily if you did one or two, but I didn't see it. Zisu, where did you see it?
Just saw it at the local theater. I didn't see, I don't even know. Is this a 3D film?
I don't think it was in 3D.
Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah. So
no, standard. When I asked you, where'd you see it? What you were saying that there was practical alien effects.
Oh yeah. Sorry. I did see there's a picture of Ridley Scott on the set and he's like, touching the xenomorph actor. So there was one, on set, and obviously they just went over it, and maybe I'm guessing too much for your taste.
It must have been really fast because if anything, I thought they would have during the shower scene at the end. I thought they would, but I really watched it. That tail was CGI. You see the xenomorph coming through the clear shower curtain or whatever, but I mean that could have been it right there. But other than that, majority of it when it was running around, it was all CGI, and then especially on top of the spacecraft, which I thought it just bugged me. It did not look good. I'm going to throw this out. I can't do none of this CGI stuff on computers, but I'm just saying, as a fan watching it, I just didn't think they did a very good job on it. I thought they did an amazing job with the planet scenes, the spaceship and all that. All that looked good. There was one scene where it looked like a model, like a real model of the spaceship. I thought that's what it was, but then when the camera started moving around, I realized it was CGI. So I thought that was an amazing, but I was just really affected by the other aliens. What were they calling the white ones?
I think they were called Neomorphs.
Yeah, yep. Those. I like that. I thought that was cool because they do explain the different versions of each one, and but then I had the problem of, so David was the ones who created all this xenomorph stuff we had seen, and I was like, okay.
See, that's since I did my review, I've heard other people talk about it, and it kind of does lower my rating down a little bit because there's a lot of stuff that's not explained, like excuse me, like where did the eggs come from?
Exactly.
Did he make these eggs? You know, did he make a queen? Is there a queen and we just never seen the queen? Or, you know, there's a lot of unexplained things, which I'm just really hoping that this is on purpose, that there is, you know, other movies to come, because from what I understand, the next movie happens before this one.
Really?
So, yeah. And I guess it's titled Alien Awakening.
Interesting.
So
I figured go on.
I don't know. I don't like that idea. But if anything, that movie that there's supposedly Alien Awakening should be the movie before we see this. Because
right.
There was so much stuff. I mean, they kind of referenced to what happened after David and Dr. Shaw left the planet to go to the engineer planet. And there was that whole, what do you say, 10 years stuff we missed. And yes. They explain a little bit in the movie. Then they explain it in that little short that they made before the movie came out. I mean, I think they showed that a little bit more with what's the actress's name that played Shaw? Goddamn, I forgot her name. But anyway, the Dr. Shaw character. They show
Noomi Rapace.
Yeah, her. They show the little bit of them, the time that they had together, and David's narrating the whole thing. They could have threw that in the movie or something, but I don't know what Ridley was trying to do with leaving that whole 10 years out for us. I know it's a good idea. You know what? I'm going to leave this out. Then I'm gonna do like George Lucas and then go back and give you 10 more movies of that 10 years space. But I don't know. I didn't like that. And them with David creating the aliens and everything we've seen, he had to have made a queen. And like Brian said, we didn't see it yet, but because the little chamber that they had down in the basement, there was only what, 4 or 5 eggs, if that. I didn't see any more because when those characters went down there, what's his name's character? Billy, what's his last name? Crudup or Crud? I don't know. Him.
Yeah.
Him. When he went down there, there was only like a couple. And so I don't know. I don't know. I know there was some stuff in the previous movies. I want to say aliens, when they showed the aliens, the xenomorphs actually carrying the eggs around and placing them places. But I think that's what I. And another question, was there other xenomorphs, the traditional ones we've seen, was that the first one? Because we had those little white ones running around.
Well, wait, because in Prometheus, the one came out of the engineer, right?
But that was back on that planet.
Right. So that was the first, right?
No. Well, it was a different version. It wasn't the actual the ones that we're all known, that we've, the traditional ones that we've seen from the first Alien movie. Because this one looked like it, but then it kind of reminded me of the one in Alien 3 that was running around on all fours.
So right.
I wasn't sure of what was going on, because it did come, it came out of the chest and everything, and these them growing up so fast. I know it grew up. Yeah. I know it. Yeah. It grew up pretty quick in Alien in the first one, but now we finally see it to where it comes out and then just immediately sheds its skin and gets big within the first couple minutes. So, but I don't know. I mean, I think it could have. But then,
Well, let me run these questions by you guys real quick. See what you think. It's from this article I found on IGN, the biggest questions coming out of the film. The first one, are the engineers really dead? At the end of Prometheus, David promises to take Elizabeth to the engineer's homeworld. Upon the arrival, he proceeds to eradicate our creators, dropping thousands of canisters of black goo on them. He acts like he's eradicated an entire species, but are we supposed to believe this relatively small city is the full extent of this advanced civilization? I mean, this is a species capable of intergalactic travel and seeding life across the universe. They were effectively our gods. Is this really the end of the engineers in the story? Shaw went in search of answers. Why did they want to destroy us, their creation? If David really wiped them out, we might never know the answer to Prometheus's biggest question. What do you think about that?
Brian, go ahead.
I don't believe they're all dead. You know, like in Prometheus, you know, they traveled to that planet to store this goo, this black goo. So I believe they're on different planets. I don't think that's all of them was just happened to be there. And also with that scene, a problem I have is, why did he crash the ship after?
Right.
Because what was his purpose of creating the Xenomorphs? Because did he want to destroy humanity?
Right. Well, that's actually the next question, so I'll just roll into that.
Okay. Okay.
Real quick, it says, why is David creating the Xenomorphs? Covenant reveals that he's the designer. He regards it as his masterpiece, but why is he doing this throughout the events of Prometheus? He comes to regard himself as superior, not only to his creator, Peter Whalen, but to the race that created him, the engineers, through his experience with the black goo. He becomes a new god. When asked what he believes in, he simply replies, creation. But alone on the planet, it's unclear what he hopes to achieve. What is his goal? Is it simply boredom, or is it creation for creation's sake? There's the line about idle hands being the devil's workshop. But towards the end of the movie, there's a suggestion that David's programming is unraveling. After all, for such an accomplished and cultured being, it seems strange that he's confusing Shelley with Byron. So is his creation spiraling out of control in future movies? So I guess that doesn't really answer it, but it just does ask, like, what do you think? Why is he doing it?
I think it's more of he doesn't like the way humanity is going, and he didn't like what the engineers were doing. In the very beginning of this one, Covenant, he is a little defiant towards Waylon when Waylon asks him to get me a cup of tea, and he just looks at him and pauses for a minute. Like, and he's got that look on his face. I mean, Michael Fassbender is an amazing actor. And this movie proved it. Now, I loved him in everything else, but this one proved it to where he could be two totally different characters. Look exactly the same, but he was, when he's David and when he's Walter, it was just, other than the accent, his performance of, you knew who David was and you knew who Walter was. Because at one point, they're both, they both looked the same with the same dark hair. But back to the beginning, when he was defiant towards Waylon, it was just, you could see right then and there, because I don't know if this is the very first time that after Waylon created him that he has his first conversation with him, But I just, I seen it in that one scene. It's really quick in the very beginning. And I think I want to say that that maybe explain just a little, of why, David is doing this to, for what he has seen so far with the stuff he had seen in Prometheus and what was going on with the engineers and what he was trying to do in this one. Because, I think he was going to try to carry on the plan of destroying humanity, but I'm still not sure. I mean, this is all just what I'm thinking, trying to put two and two together. But I don't know. Hopefully they explain more in these movies. But as far as the engineers, the first engineers we had in the first movie, they looked like big, huge. They were in the gym, Adonis-looking characters. And then, when we get to their planet, they just like little old mediocre hobos. I mean, nobody was all buff and everything, and they looked all scruffy. And I was like, okay. I mean, this isn't all. They didn't kill David. Didn't kill all the engineers, because the engineer in the original Alien. I mean, then if he would have wiped out all of them right there, there wouldn't be Alien, because if David is the one that's creating all those, how did they get a ship full of the eggs and the queen and take off? Or maybe they were trying to, they had the queen on the ship and she was laying their eggs. Maybe whoever that engineer was decided, you know what, I need to take this away from David. So let me have them all loaded up on my ship and take off. And then, somehow he got, one of the facehuggers got him, and he just, he didn't crash land on, LV-426. It looks like he just landed, but who knows? Maybe the ships can just take a bigger impact. So I don't know. I mean, it leads into that first engineer that we saw back in, was it 79 when that first one came out. So I don't know. I mean, that movie alone, Alien, it tells me that all the engineers aren't dead yet. So, I don't know. We'll see. And this movie didn't answer anything. These last two movies are just giving you more questions and this, right. Him building up to, okay, well, we got more movies coming, which is cool. Like, yeah, I'm happy. Make as many Alien movies as you want, but he needs to fill in these holes. And, I don't know. Maybe when it's all said and done, it'll all piece together. But
right.
As far as the CGI, I wasn't too hip on that. The story was there, but awesome acting with all the actors. But it was just, I think I'm just more confused and a little upset. This is the movie I wanted. I wanted to see what happened right after Prometheus, and a lot happened, and we just didn't see it. They just mentioned it. So yeah. I don't know. We'll see. But when they were talking about, I did hear that stuff about them talking about a prequel before this one. And then someone went, yeah, it's going to be a prequel with the Covenant crew. I was like, why would you need them? Why would you need them in it?
Weird.
Even if they were in this next movie,
they couldn't do Alien.
They couldn't do anything. I mean, it's not going to tie into anything because they don't run into the alien stuff until this one. And then, I don't know. That was probably just a rumor that I read. I mean, putting them in the next movie would be stupid because nothing would happen to them because their demise we already seen. So, I don't know. It's just internet stuff that clickbait is what they call it. But I don't know. I mean, there's just so much stuff on. And Brian, you guys were talking about, Lance had brought up, was Ash really asleep that whole time in the original Alien? I did a lot of research and I read the book a long time ago, and I want to say he did not know about what was going on that whole time until they got to the planet and he radioed back and told them what was going on. And that's when they put him into play that you need to bring that thing back, because it was an initial thing, because they did want to go out there and find the alien life. And it's, if we know Whelan Corporation with these first two movies, that they did know about it. So, but I don't know. I think Ash was, he just jumped on after the fact of them telling him, look, this is your mission, bring him back. So, but I don't know. This movie's, this whole series is giving me a headache. I did whip through all of them again, but this movie, the second viewing, I did catch a little bit more, but it just gave me more of a headache of what the fuck are you trying to do to us? Especially to me. I'm like, oh, come on. I've been with this franchise from the very beginning. Opening weekend, I saw Alien. Had no idea what it was. Did not hear one word of dialogue, because I saw it at a drive-in. The movie that my mom took us to see, I could care less about. I looked over on the next screen and saw all this greatness that's Alien. And after that, I had to see what they were saying. I watched the whole movie, just didn't hear any of it. But I kind of figured out what was going on. But then later when it came on cable, I watched it, and I was all right. And watching it over and over and over as I was growing up, I was finally piecing it together and understanding what was going on. And then with Aliens and Alien 3 and Resurrection, I loved all of them. But now they're coming back to us years later with Prometheus and Alien Covenant, and just making my head hurt, because it just, you're not telling me anything. So, like I said, I'm hoping with these future movies that it all comes together and I'll be able to rest and okay, I'm all right, my headache's gone. But right now it's like, oh, my head's throbbing because this movie was all over the place. But I don't know, guys, we'll see.
Yeah, you pretty much touched on pretty much every one of the other questions I have, so I kind of just to finish up the article, kind of brush on each. You mentioned, what about the alien queen? Where does she fit into this? If David created the facehugger eggs, where would the queen alien fit into all this?
Just jump in real quick. I heard a rumor saying that that's the alien that came from Noomi Rapace's character.
Yeah.
When you find her body laying there on the table.
Right. Okay. Good idea there. What about the eggs on LV-426? After watching Covenant, this discovery made by the crew of the Nostromo becomes no less of a mystery. If anything, it unearths more questions. The engineers have to crash onto a planet carrying thousands of the face huggers, unless time travel is introduced to make the matters even more convoluted. Doubt they'll do that.
I kind of mentioned that really quick. I think it goes to the fact that maybe that engineer that was in that ship that was on LV-426, he didn't like what David was trying to do, and maybe he was trying to get the queen away, and Sheridan had all those eggs on the ship. Or maybe he just had the queen, and maybe when it crash landed on LV-426, she just started laying all the eggs. Maybe he was trying to get that queen away from David, and then she laid an egg, facehugger got the engineer, and that's how it got to that planet. So I mean, that's the only thing I can think of, but then again, we don't know yet. So, because then we don't hear any word on David ever again after even in Alien or the movies after that. I mean, we hear Whelan and everything, but I don't know. That's the only thing I can think of, that it was trying to get away with it, or who knows. We'll see. But yeah, but I mean, but then again, the ship didn't even look like it crash landed on the planet, unless it could just take more of an impact when it crashes, because it obviously, he either just landed it and then died, or crashed, but I don't know. We'll see.
I think we lost somebody.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think. Let me see if I can try to get it back. Sorry, everybody. We are, now let me just try to remember how to get him back. Shit. Okay. Sorry for the dead air. I'll have to fix that.
Technical difficulties.
Yeah. Here we go. Let me see. Let me see if I can get it right. Let's see if we can get him back on. I don't know what happened, ladies and gentlemen. But yeah, man, I mean, just that's the only thing I could think of. That engineer either didn't like what was going on and said, let me try to get this queen away from him. And
you know, that makes a lot of sense too. And maybe as we're watching the movie, he doesn't know the queen's gone.
Yeah.
So. Or maybe he does. I don't know. Maybe that's why he sent the beacon out.
Yeah, but then again, in the book, it wasn't a come help me. It wasn't a SOS. It was I want to say one of the characters might have said it was a distress, not or warning, like stay away from this. So I remember reading something about that it was more of a warning, but they took it as, well, we don't know what it is. I mean, because the crew didn't know about it. The Nostromo crew, where we're going back to Alien, they didn't know nothing about it. They were all asleep because they were on their way home. The company is the one that got the signal and woke them up and said, you guys need to go investigate. So, but I do think the company knew that was there or didn't know. Oh, shit. Either they did know that ship was there or didn't know, or they did know that something was going on out there that was lost. I'm leaning more towards of they knew that ship was out there, but it was lost. They just couldn't find it. But when they got this little signal, they're like, hey, this might be it. Let's send them there to get it. And that's when they told Ash to jump into action. And look, you by all costs, you need to bring that alien back to us, to Earth. And then all hell broke loose from there on. So that's the only thing I can think of. I'm not sure about anything else, but. I can't get the Zisu back. But did you have anything else that you wanted to throw in?
No.
Because I wish I could have came on your show. And we would have, it would have been a 10-hour show. So.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, after, you know, talking about it with you and then listening to other reviews about it, I might have been a little too hyped about this because this is one of my, I'm not going to say one of my favorite franchises, but definitely when a new Alien movie comes out, I'm there to see it. And I might have rated it a little too high.
Stupid. Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Okay. Zisu, are you there?
No.
I can hear you. Are you there?
Yeah.
What? Yeah. Are you back?
Yeah, the internet went down.
Okay, I hear you fiddling around. So.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, we were just kind of going back and forth on trying to piece it together. So, but yeah, I mean, all we can do is we'll see. But oh man, not a headache. but overall. It is worth seeing, and all, like I said, all you diehard fans have probably already seen it. A friend of mine asked me last night, she goes, what did I think of it? I'm just going to tell her to go see it. I mean, make up her own decision, because yep.
There was a lot of cool stuff that happened, and I mean, like the...
Go ahead.
The one scene where he came out, the guy... back. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Can you repeat? Hello? Can you repeat that? It was kind of going in and out.
Oh. Up in here. I enjoyed the scene with the Neomorph coming out to the guy's back. I thought that was a good scene right there. I like how they were just They just didn't come out the chest.
Yeah. I like that, how it was just the different versions of them. So it was only cool to have them come out other ways. The one that was awesome is the one that came out of that guy's mouth. I thought that was badass.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we had already seen the chest bursters and all the other movies and everything. But this one with the different strains of them, it was just it was amazing. And they didn't hold back on the blood. That's what I loved. I mean, this they kind of just went gallons.
Because yeah.
When it came out of that guy's back, man, it was just pouring out. And when it came out of the dude's throat, when he fell backwards and when he was on the table, there was just blood was still pouring out all over the place. And I thought that was cool. I mean, another thing I thought.
And I definitely love this.
Go ahead.
I definitely love the scene with the alien when they were trying to surround him, the little one, knock that guy's jaw off.
Oh, yeah, with the tail. I thought that was badass. I mean, like we said, there was a lot of good stuff in it, but I think what was bothering me was just the trying to get it all together and everything, and thinking of the future movies. Well, not the future, but they're actually the movies we'd already seen, but how it's going to tie into all those. I think that's what made me more get the headache. But as far as acting and everything, the movie as a whole, the movie's good. Go see it. But you're going to analyze it. Like us, because I think that's where my headache kicks in. Analyzing it too hard, but it's something I love, and I love all these alien movies, and I want answers, and I'm not getting them. I kind of getting maybe one or two answers, but then it's just more questions. So, but out of everything, I'm gonna go with your guys' rating, Brian. The rating they do on The Horror Returns, I'm gonna give this a 5. I know some of the guys, Phil and those guys gave it a higher, but I was right in the middle with it. I was kind of like, okay, but who knows? We'll see. Maybe if I watch it more and more, my rate will go up. But right now, at this point, I give it a 5.
Just real quick, did you see the switch out at the end of the movie coming? Did you know right away that it was David running out of the building to join them on the ship?
I kind of had the feeling, just because of what David wanted to do, what his plan was. So I kind of figured that he wouldn't die. They couldn't just end him like that, because he would want to continue with it, with his plan. So I kind of was like, okay, that could be David, but then I wasn't sure. But then when we do find out it was, I was like, oh, okay. So I like to say, yeah, I kind of saw it coming, but I wasn't sure.
I was sure the whole time they were like messing around on the ship. I was like, okay, he's gonna do something here. He's going to do something here. He's going to take out Danny McBride or something. Like, I don't know. the whole way. And then all the way up into the point they're getting in the things, I was like, you couldn't have asked him about the cabin question before you got in there?
Yeah, but I don't know. Brian, what'd you think?
I knew it was David. it happened too quick for it to be a change.
Right.
A question for both of you guys. I need to watch. I know I just watched Prometheus, but I wasn't really paying attention. In the very beginning, when they were just showing David in the ship, did he bleach his hair? Do you guys remember?
I think so. Oh yeah. Right.
Yeah, he did.
Okay. All right. Because when I was watching, I didn't catch it the first time, but I did remember. But I was like, did he color his hair in this one? Or no, but I was sitting there thinking about it last night when I was watching it again, that I was like, shit, okay, there was a scene where he was he had the stuff in his hair and he was messing with it. So I was like, all right, because I think he bleached his hair blonde for what's his name's character in the movie he was watching.
Lawrence of Arabia.
Yeah. I think he wanted to, because I said that was his favorite movie, so I think that's what he wanted to go for. So that's why he was blonde in that one. And as far as being 10 years, his hair would have been way longer than that. Some people said, yeah. "Say, well, no, that maybe he cut it." No, it had the blonde parts in it still. I was like, no, it would have been 10 years. It would have been down to however long it would grow down to his ass, if that, if he never cut it. But so, but yeah, that was a question, because when he cut his hair, then he had the exact same hair as Walter. But as far as programming for David, I think his was totally different than Walter's. I think because David was a one of a kind android is what I'm going to call him, and because I think Waylon programmed him and wanted him to learn, so I think that's why there was only one of him, and Walter was the regular versions that we got after that. But I think another problem I had with these first two movies with David and Walter is how they were more sophisticated and more advanced programming wise than Ash and Bishop, because it seemed, especially Bishop just seemed like he was just like a C-3PO protocol type of droid, where he was just going with the flow and didn't want to ruffle any feathers, where Ash was kind of devious. He had that look and how he was feeling. And we didn't get that with David until this one, until Covenant, because David was all just kind of smooth and suave and Prometheus. And this one, when we realize what's going on, what his plan is, or we don't know what his full plan is, but we realize what he's doing. And Walter was kind of like, kind of like Bishop, but not really, because he was totally different. But I don't know, with these androids, I like what they're doing with them. But I don't know. It just brings up more questions.
Any idea of when the next one is gonna come out?
Yeah, it probably depends on how much money this makes.
Yeah.
I don't know. If 20, I would say, don't rush it. I mean, just think about it a little more.
Well, I don't know. Ridley, he's getting up there. He probably doesn't want to wait.
Yeah. And as far as him putting a stop to, what's his name? What's that director's name, Brian, that wanted to,
Neil Blomkamp?
Yeah. I was all for that one. But
it sounded cool.
Yeah. In the images that they put out, I was all for it. But then now that Ridley said, hell no, you guys can't do that. And then I was like, oh, well, I think you should. I think you should still do it. But I know you have to get Ridley Scott's.
Yeah, it's not happening, because I guess Ridley's talking about he's got like 5 or 6 alien movies planned or something ridiculous like that.
Well, he better get on it, because he's getting up there. But I don't know. You say we're done with this, because I'm getting a headache again.
Yeah. All I'm going to say is I probably, because I think I gave it an 8, and in hindsight, I probably would have really gave it a 7 now that I'm talking about it a little bit more. But I think it's a piece to a bigger plan mapped out, hopefully.
Yeah, I'm hoping that as well. I mean, but I'm still going to stick with my rating as a 5. Because it just wasn't what I wanted. I wanted more of Dr. Shaw and David, aftermath of them leaving the planet. And who knows? We'll see. I mean, this, because Covenant could have been avoided if they would have stayed with their initial plan and just kept going towards whatever that planet was called. Something with an O and ended with 6. I don't remember. But they veered off and went to that other planet where David, the engineer's planet. That was another thing, really quick. They have the galaxy all mapped out. How did they not know this planet was right there? I mean, I don't know. It's just more stuff to think about. Supposedly, with all the technology they have now, or back, or in these movies, how the hell did you not know that planet was there? But you know this other planet, millions of miles away. You know about that, and this planet was a lot closer. Well, 7 years closer. So I don't know. Just more questions.
I need to point out. So on my show, I was asked how come I don't point out stupid people no more. I have to point out something it's not a stupid person. It's a stupid thing. Why were the colonists that were sleeping in their chamber, why were they hung up like dry cleaning? That did not seem like a good idea, especially the scene where the ship got hit and it was shaking and they were just like swinging around. It just didn't seem like that was a good idea to have that whole setup.
That's true, huh? While the crew was all laying flat, like,
yeah,
or even like in the next movies, Aliens and Alien and Alien Resurrection, they're all laying in the little cryo tubes. I don't know. Speaking of that little chamber, at the very end when David throws up the little embryo eggs, were those face huggers?
I think so.
I don't know. I didn't understand that part.
It looks like it. They looked little, kind of like that.
And they had to have been. I mean, with the, because he left everything else on that planet, and he just those two little things. So either they go back to that planet and he gets more, or one of those little things has a queen in it, because there was he only had two. So I don't know, unless he remembers his whole recipe and makes more. But
more questions.
Yeah, we'll see. But oh man, yeah, I think that's it, everybody. Brian, man, I just want to thank you for coming on and be a part of the discussions of everything with sports and aliens and everything else, dude. For our listeners that do not listen to The Horror Returns, just let them know where they can hear your show and how to get a hold of you guys.
Okay, you can find us on iTunes and Podbean, and you can email us at thehorrorreturns@gmail.com. We're also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, you name it.
Brian here, he runs all the social media, and he does an amazing job. And it's an awesome show. Do check their show out. Any of you horror fans that don't listen and you love horror movies like we do, like I do, Zisu doesn't. You guys all know that. But Brian and Phil and Lance, they have an amazing show. I mean, you heard the shows that I have done with them, as well as going down to Texas Frightmare with Phil and Lance and having a blast. But do check out the show. And Brian, thank you so much for coming on, dude. I mean, this show's gonna be a long one, everyone. So
yeah.
Apologize, everybody. Apologize.
No, but it was good. Usually. It's an awesome show. So, but do you have anything else, Brian?
No. If everybody needs to listen to your show. You guys do a great show. And if you're not listening, I don't know what's wrong with you then.
Right on. Thanks. Zisa, what do you got?
Just thanks, Brian. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Shout out to everybody. Definitely go check out Twin Peaks. Like I said earlier in the episode, couldn't recommend it higher. We got Pirates this weekend. If you're going to check that out, probably go see that. Other than that, I already put a wrap on it.
Does a Baywatch come out too?
This weekend? Does it?
I think so.
I think I'll see Baywatch before I see Pirates. So I don't know. We'll see. Okay. But yeah, that's going to be it, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. Look for us on Podbean and iTunes as well. Search engine, Skater Nez Podcast Network. Look up that. You'll see the shows and everything else. And hey, Brian, once again, thank you, brother, for coming on. Amazing job. Like we said, the door is always open. You can come on whenever you want. and just we'll just do it all over again with everything else. So that's it for me, everyone.
Thank you for having me.
Right on. That's it for me, guys.
Yep. Thanks again, Brian. See everybody next time. And in the words of David, no one understands the lonely perfection of my dreams.